following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Have you ever been that lonely guy standing in the corner of a bar, lacking the confidence to approach a beautiful woman or even defend yourself if needed? Well, this is the book for you. Bar Jitsu, the American Art of Bar Fighting, filled with tips, techniques, and stories aimed to help you become the barroom stud that you've always wanted to be. Pick up your copy of Bar Jitsu, the American Art of Bar Fighting, online or at a bookstore near you.
Pre-order Bar Jitsu, the American Art of Bar Fighting, now on Amazon through barjutsu.com. That's barjutsu.com. Also find them on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Ho, ho, ho. Season's beating, boys and girls. It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea from the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast, inviting all of you to join all of us live. That's right, live. On December 20th at 8 p.m. for the Turnbuckle Throwback's first annual Christmas Spectacular. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have giveaways. We're going to take calls. We're going to have a very special guest in the studio. And a very, very cool throwback going back to 1989 doing Stargate Future Shock. How cool was that? So please, guys, join us on the Rantham Radio Network. Join the chat room. If you can't be with us that night, download the TuneIn app to your smartphone or your Android device. And season's beatings and happy holidays.
This is Devin Storm, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast, the best.
Two ago, I thought I'd say
BWO! BWO! BWO!
Oh, sorry.
Christmas without you, I'll be so
check out the tree.
Oh, the tree's cool. Very cool.
Oh! BWO! 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 BWO!
Shut up!
That's what you get for not giving me that toy train when I was nine.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the BWO Holiday Spectacular. Oh, yeah, there was a time when ECW did crazy things on the street, and they sent the Blue Meanie and Stevie Richards out into beautiful Rockefeller Center, start harassing Santa Claus and a few other folks down there. Welcome, everyone, to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And I'm chewing pizza.
And talk about wrestling.
That's okay. I'm the Blue Meanie.
I'm Nova.
I am. Oh, I can't be him, can I?
Sure, well, you can. You have two choices.
Who was the 7-Eleven, right? That was the other guy?
Thomas Rodman.
Thomas Rodman.
Oh, he was
the
there?
Show. That was
Thomas
him.
Rodman. I'm Thomas Rodman.
Awesome.
And we will be joined by the fourth member of the BWO tonight.
The fourth member that we didn't mention.
BWO member, Right to Censor member, an ECW original.
Dancing. Doctor.
And the Extreme Rising Champion, Stevie Richards, is going to join the Shining Wizards tonight.
Yeah, son. Put that in your pipe and fart on it.
So.
Sorry, Matt was hungry.
No, I'm fucking, I was starving. If I didn't eat before we started this and I drank like four twisted teas, it would be, I'd be stuttering and stammering more than I usually do.
Oh, okay. Is that how we're doing it?
That's how we're doing it.
That's right. Kicking big, it raw, baby.
Big weekend in professional wrestling.
Lots of shows in the tri-state area. Lots of shows. Lots of good wrestling. Lots of people.
And the
and lots of snow.
Yeah, a lot of inclement weather Saturday, but
inclement.
Sorry.
Inclement. Now he's got me stuttering. Jesus.
But everybody drew well. PWS, Blow, CZW, Ring of Honor. Everyone drew great houses, and, you know, that's awesome for wrestling in general.
So where did you wind up this weekend?
In my living room, drinking Jack and Cokes, talking to the cat.
Watching?
The CZWI pay-per-view.
Nice.
But if I may, before I get into CZW, I would like to go back to Thursday Night Impact.
Oh, okay. All right. You want to go timeline-wise? Sure.
I would like to. I would like to try and keep it in some kind of order.
Are you going
to
drop any spoilers like you did on Friday or last week?
Last Tuesday.
That was my fault.
No, nobody's fault. I'll take all the blame for that. Impact, another stellar show. Outside of that spoiler I dropped last week, I didn't read any of the other spoilers. So a couple interesting things happened on Impact. They did a Feast or Fired?
Again?
I don't know if you're familiar with this. I don't know the concept because I never really watched Impact.
You want me to explain it in a nutshell?
Yeah, please.
There's four briefcases that they all choose. First of all, there's six people involved, and four of them win the right to choose a briefcase.
I'll tell you, there were a lot more than six. I think there might have been more? There might have been eight tonight on Thursday.
Okay. And everybody gets a briefcase, the four winners or whatever.
Well, I don't know how they did it when you watched it, but in this instance, every briefcase was placed on a pole above each turnbuckle.
Oh, okay. And then you had to grab one of the briefcases.
Yes. Kind of like, I guess, like a money in the bank.
Briefcases.
Now, one briefcase has a world title shot.
Mm-hmm.
One briefcase has a pink slip.
Uh-huh.
And the other ones, are they other title shots, like X Division and tags?
I think so. Yep, exactly.
Okay. So, if you're lucky enough to be in the Final Four, you have a 25% chance of being ABC'd.
Well, they did it differently this way. It wasn't Final Four. It was whoever got up there first and grabbed them.
Oh, so then what's the point of even trying to grab one? Is it worth the risk?
Yeah, I'd rather not be world champion and still have a job.
Well, but there's guys who were in it, like the two job guys that got destroyed by Ethan Carter the last couple of weeks. They were in it.
But they don't. Are they regular members of the roster?
I guess they are now.
Because that wouldn't really make sense if they were just hired guns to do a job.
Ethan Carter III entered himself after he challenged Jeremy Borash to a fight.
Of course.
And then Sting came out.
Sting.
And Sting told him to either man up and fight him or go into Feast or Fired.
Please tell me Sting got fired.
No, Sting did not even participate. Oh. So Ethan Carter III went in. He got a briefcase. Zima Ion won a briefcase.
Of course.
Chavo Guerrero got a briefcase.
Wait, Chavo Classic or the new Chavo?
The new Chavo?
The young Chavo.
No,
Chavo
old
Jr.
Chavo Guerrero.
Okay.
Chavo Jr.
The
Chavo
OG.
Jr.
Him and Pepe.
Pepe.
And then Gunner knocked James Storm off the top rope and stole his briefcase. So Gunner has a briefcase.
Wait, they didn't open them yet?
No, they're opening them this Thursday.
Oh, I was going to say, please tell me Gunner got fired after being a dick.
No, because this Thursday is Turning Point, is the big...
I'm on TNA website right now.
It's the Hardy Magnus Finals, Rude Angle, 2 out of 3 falls.
Final Resolution.
Ah, there you go, Final Resolution. Madison Rain made her return.
Good for her.
To help ODB fend off Gail Kim and that big Samoan-looking bitch.
ODB and her big tits.
Yes, they are.
They're big, luscious hooters.
They're nice.
Probably got fucking Jack coming out of one and Coke coming out of the other one.
I'm in. Sign me up.
Lactating video starring ODB. I'm down for $20.
We have a new X-Division champion.
Zima Ion?
No, Austin Aries defeated Chris Sabin.
Nice.
With that hideous belt.
Yeah, not a fan. Although Mannix seemed to like it.
Yeah, he did like it. I didn't.
Joseph Park and Eric Young.
Joseph Park Esquire.
Beat Bad Influence. About halfway through the match, Eric Young hard-weighed Joseph Park. So he would see the blood and lose his mind. And then after the match, Eric Young told him, "You've been looking for Abyss this whole time, and you're Abyss."
that's how they
are
finished
they breaking
this?
Kayfabe?
Well, Joseph Park was like, no, no, it's not possible, and Eric Young just left him in the ring.
I thought Eric Young was like his best buddy.
They are.
This has Abyss listed as their television champion. The website is that.
That's way. Are you at Imp? Are you?
I'm on the official TNA Impact
it's
Wrestling.com.
Possible. Have they had any television title matches in a long time? I don't think so.
Devon was the last TV champ.
Until he lost
right
to Abyss,
here,
I guess.
Under the roster page, it has Abyss as the champ. I thought they retired that belt.
They
I
may
don't know
have.
What they do
it's
with
the
it.
Legends belt anyway.
Yeah, it was like the Booker T and Kevin Nash belt, right?
Stupid, worthless belt.
But then so, they changed it to the television title.
Any word from any? I'm sorry. Any more news over there from TNA?
No, I mean that was it in a nutshell. They're telling their stories. They're making sense. Mr. Anderson was supposed to be in Feaster Fired. Bully Ray attacked him and power bombed him on the ramp.
What are they doing with him now, Anderson?
I think he's gonna continue his feud with Bully Ray.
Okay, and the championship is the vacant thing, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Magnus, Jeff Hardy going at it on a final resolution
Magnus.
On Thursday.
Yes.
Skype, okay. We're not going to have any problems like we did last week?
We should not, unless somebody wants to give me a call on it, because I do not have my telephone.
We'll find out, I guess, when he calls
in a few
minutes.
Oh, pass me that. Is that your phone?
That's my phone.
All right, pass it to me. I'll call. All right. Because you always forget the number anyway.
So is like King Mo and those guys, are they still on TNA?
I don't think
Wait,
so.
Wait, King Mo and Mabel?
No, King Mo, the Sir UFC Mo fighter, or MMA fighter.
Yeah, and like, did they ever do anything with Tito Ortiz and Rampage?
They were
ever,
part of the
main event Mafia and Aces and Nates, right?
Didn't that match get canceled, though?
Yeah, because Tito broke his neck.
Yeah, it's working.
Right,
Skype
good.
Is working.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything really came of that.
They
That's
didn't
a shame.
Because Tito got hurt, right? Or was it Rampage that got hurt?
No, Tito broke his neck.
That's an actual shame.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't do anything with them was sarcastically.
They
could have
brought Ken Shamrock out of retirement. They could have.
I would love to see that.
I would love to see Ken Shamrock go. Crazy motherfucker, that dude.
I'm just going through the TNA roster, and I'm just wondering who's still there and who isn't.
Can we talk AJ tidbit news before we take a break?
Sure.
Turns out, I just read this a little while ago.
Is this going to have a spoiler in it?
No, this whole AJ Styles thing might be a work. They're talking that his whole... Because he released a statement about, God damn, the Briscoes. They're fucking hideous looking. I'm sorry.
They're funny as shit, though.
Oh, I know. They're the coolest fucking guys, but my God. Anyway, sorry about that. Yeah, so it turns out that this... A lot of people are speculating that this whole thing might be a work. I read it on 401 Mania just before we started recording tonight.
That'd be some kind of work because he's booked.
Yeah, I know. And they're saying that like there's talk whether or not he's going to honor these bookings, whether he's going to cancel them. And he's supposed to be taking on Chris Hero up at Smash Wrestling, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing Chris Hero at Smash Wrestling. He's doing somebody else at Dreamwave Wrestling.
I'd like to be doing Dixie.
You got this weird thing for her, huh?
I thought she was hot, too.
It's that whole Southern Belle kind of thing. Like, I wanted to be in, like, a big pink frilly dress with a parasol and shit.
Oh, God, bloomers?
Like, yeah, you lift up the skirt, she's got, like, fucking stockings and bloomers. And, like, not, like, high heels, but, like, those, like old Southern Belle boots with, like, the little silver button on the side. Oh, man, I'm getting fucking worked up over here.
You're creepy. You and the... Older ladies, what are you, Vinny?
It's no, dude, come on now. She's still like under 50. Come on, I think she is.
I just can't get. I almost said I can't get behind her.
Oh, brother. So we talked TNA wrestling. What's next on the agenda, Mr. Matt? What happened this weekend?
What's next? Well, we'll start. We'll stay. I want to say PWS.
PWS. Unfortunately, none of the three of us made it to that show.
None of the four of us.
Well, Eddie didn't go either?
I don't know. I guess we should have talked to him. There was an Alf sighting, but I don't know. I don't know how Alf feels about driving in the snow.
Who's Alf? Do I not know this?
Alf was supposed to be somebody who doesn't like to drive in the snow.
Oh.
So I don't know if he went.
Oh. He traveled all the way from Melmac. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, he still has to drive.
Gordon Shumway?
Gordon
people don't remember that one.
So they did their fight night, and they did their bombshells, the ladies of wrestling. Couple notes from fight night, the only note I could find. Not easy, Eric, Pat. You guys need to do a better job of putting up the fight night results. All I know is Bonesaw beat King Hippo.
Bonesaw was ready. I'm sorry, I was terrible.
Retained the PWS World Heavyweight Championship.
Now, wait a minute. Now, what did King Hippo have? He had the Night to Fight if It's All Right Championship.
I guess it's like their equivalent of the Money in the Bank. Is
he
that
won
what it,
the Battle Royal at the last show.
Okay, but was that like
the
medallion?
No, that's the one coming up in February, the 30-man Rumble on the spot. Rumble.
Is that the thing that's the thing that Bonesaw won last year?
Yes, that's coming up in
February.
The
on-the-spot title shot.
Yes.
And it was like a fucking, like a Mr. T chain, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then Bonesaw, we were at that show when Bonesaw cashed in.
That's
yeah.
right.
Because that was Alex Reynolds and, was it Matthews?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
But they did.
You guys went at the same time.
They did post the bombshell results. Of course, we couldn't be there because of the inclement weather.
Bad weather. Just say bad.
No, I like fucking up.
that might be right for all we know. And climate? Be. Could be.
He's getting
he's
behind.
He's a lawyer. He knows.
Whatever.
A couple notes of PWS bombshells. Somebody graced the women's wrestling scene. Grandma Butcher.
Yes, I read this.
You can put that together and figure that one out. friend of the show, Missy Sampson, won back the blow title. She beat La Rosa Negra.
Thank God.
Two out of three falls match.
Good.
And then La Rosa Negra went on to win the...
Majestic?
Yes, the Majestic 12 tournament, where she ended up beating Mia Yim and Jessie K in a three-way dance.
Now, how is that going to work? Is that going to be like the Suicidal Six-Way, where it's going to be like 12 ladies fighting at once?
Well, they did it like a tournament style. It was the first round was three tag team matches.
Yes.
And then after that, it was three one-on-one matches, and then the winners of that were in the three-way dance.
So they're going to do this at every show now when this title comes up for defense?
I don't know.
That's kind of wacky. Because, I mean, like, the Suicidal Six-Way, yeah, it's a lot of people, but six, I guess, is manageable. 12 people, that just seems like a lot.
Well, like I said, they're not all at the same time.
So it's going to be like two Suicidal Six-Ways and then a final match?
I don't think it's the same concept at all. I think this tournament was just to crown the first champion.
Yes.
And now they're just going to defend it as like a secondary title to the world championship.
But it's called the Majestic 12.
The
why not
tournament
just call it like
was called the Majestic
12. Is the
belt 12.
Actually called the Majestic 12
I'm
title?
I'm pretty sure it's the Majestic title.
It's just the Majestic title. It's
okay,
not
well,
Majestic
all right, 12. Well, then that makes sense. Yeah. That's fine. That makes sense.
And they have Mickey James coming in February
yes.
to do a match, too.
They've got a fatal four-way, don't they?
Yeah, I'm on a page right now.
What's her nuts, right?
Give us the 411, Mr.
Missy Sampson versus Mickey James versus Angelina Love
there you go.
Versus La Rosa Negra, which has her listed as just the Majestic champion. So there's
there you go.
Confirmation. So it's just, I guess, both bombshell belts will be on the line.
Now, you see, that's weird because now they have two titles and both belts are going to be up for grabs, which means winner take all, which means what was the point?
Who knows?
I don't know.
It could be like that. Remember that match at WrestleMania one time where it was like Benoit, Angle, Jericho?
Yes.
And Benoit
falls,
won the
right?
Intercontinental title and then like left, and then Angle won the European Championship?
No, Angle lost both belts
leave. Or Jericho. Oh, they didn't leave?
No, okay. Benoit won the first fall for the Intercontinental belt, and then Jericho won, but they pinned each other.
Right, so like, Angle lost both belts
and he didn't factor in.
So it could be like maybe that something like that goes down in this match.
I'm intrigued. I could tell you that much. I'm intrigued for the next blow show.
February 20th.
Well, no, this is the actual PWS show. This is on the main show, Homecoming Havoc.
Wow. Oh, at Rahway, right?
Yeah. The return to the rec center.
Well, it's not return to Rahway. It's return to the rec center.
That's exactly what I just said.
I know. That's why I'm saying it.
I'm looking at the card. It's actually going to be a good show. I know it's a month and a half away or whatever, but still go over the card. Bonesaw versus Alex Reynolds. Colt Cabana versus Chris Hero. Holy shit. That's going
to
be awesome.
What happened to the Honky Tonk Man?
Ooh.
We kind of touched base on this last week, but we didn't get into it. So it was announced at the last PWS show, Honky Tonk Man against Colt Cabana.
Boom, boom.
Great, great gimmick match between
absolutely.
Two awesome dudes.
Funny guys.
What ended up happening was Honky Tonk Man took a three-day convention booking.
Comic-Con.
And his response to Eric, when Eric said, but you've been advertised and you were already booked, was that he was never sent a plane ticket or paid yet.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
That's fucking gay.
That's terrible. Eric says a booking is a booking when you agree to do the show. That's a booking. I mean, other stuff will come. I mean, like, but I guess Honky took the money. And people were talking shit, too. Somebody, another company was talking shit about PWS on Twitter or something like that.
Yeah, saying that Honky drew them like
1,600 people or
fucking
something.
Fucking $1,600 extra. $60,000 extra. Yeah. Some fucking ridiculous. Shut your dumb face. Yeah. Retards.
Really?
$16,000?
That's what he said Honky Tonk made them. Bullshit.
How? What are you selling tickets for $100?
I think he was taking boudoir photos for $75.
Is he fucking playing their dicks like guitars for $100? What's he doing?
Flutes, bro. Flutes. Lining them up and playing like a circus seal.
I mean, he's. Unfortunately, he has a name in the business, so this is not something that's going to set him back. It's just a dick move on his end.
It's a dick move because he is a name and he can get away with that shit.
Yeah, but once you make a commitment, you need to stick to it. I just think that's not even a wrestling thing. I think that's like a
it was
a man
money,
thing.
Bro. He got booked. He's got a guaranteed shot for 3 days. Listen, Honky Tonk Man, I don't know if he knows PWS. PWS never cancels. But Honky Tonk Man may think, like, it's just another indie promotion.
No, I think he does that, but he doesn't.
So he's looking at it like this. Indie card where we may get a couple of people show up and they might try to stiff me on money. Or I get a guaranteed 3-day shot doing a Comic-Con that's not going to go anywhere. That's a guaranteed appearance.
I mean,
I'm not saying it's the right move.
It's not.
But I understand his mentality.
Of course, we all understand it. Like, listen, and it's far enough in advance that they did get a good replacement. It doesn't make it right at all. But if playing devil's advocate, I could see his logic behind it. But it is still a dick move.
No, it's definitely a dick move, and I'm not defending him, but I'm just trying to give you, like his mindset. But what do I know? I just sit on my couch in my basement talking to my buds about wrestling.
It's just unfortunate.
It is. I mean, people were looking forward to seeing that, but Colt Cabana, Chris Hero?
You're going to get the diehards. You're going to
get a bad replacement.
Yeah. No, I think it's better. I think in-ring product, it's 10 times better, and I think you're going to get a lot of the diehard fans now back.
No, you're right, and I'll tell you what,
like wrestling fans. Back,
I like going to
nostalgia
I like going
fans.
To PWS shows because there's a little bit of everything.
Absolutely,
you're gonna get wrestling, you're gonna get funny, you're gonna get silly, you know, you're gonna get a little sprinkled goofy even in the serious shit, you know.
Absolutely. And
so you know, to bolster up like the wrestling side with somebody like Chris Hero, not a problem with me. Not a problem with me at all. I'm a happy camper.
Also, the Suicidal 6-Way title, new champ, Drunken Swashbuckler versus. Not sure if I'm pronouncing this right. Shinron, Matt McIntosh, Brian XL, CPA, and Cobra Commander. Suicidal 6-Ways are always good. The Lone Rangers, who I'm not exactly sure who they are.
It's John Silver and Pat Buck.
That's right.
Okay.
They're teaming up again. It's been a long time since they teamed up, right? Probably since they took on Powers of Pain back in Refuse to Lose.
All right. Well, they got the tag titles. Shot against the Heavenly Bodies with GMC. Former Partners Collide, the match that we did not get last time because our good friend, the big deal, Craig Steele, had a baby. So,
well, he didn't have a baby.
Well,
I mean, he's a big boy.
He had it. I mean, whatever, he had it. It was there. Against Hollywood Joe Hardway. And again, this show is in 2 months, but it's still cool to talk about. We already mentioned the 4-way for the Bombshells, and then you got the 30-man on the spot title shot. Which, you know,
30 man, where's Tickles?
Tickles would love that.
Ooh.
And then, they also got appearances by Bret Hart, obviously.
Old droopy face.
Ox Baker, New Jack, and Danny Davis. Although I'm not sure which Danny Davis that is. I'm guessing it's.
I'm assuming.
That's him.
Really?
It's got to be. All
right, well, let's check it out.
Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Hey, this is Stevie Richards. How are you?
Stevie. How are you, buddy?
Sorry about that. Misunderstanding with the days and times.
Oh, no worries. It's not a big deal. You called in, so that's all that matters to us.
I got to tell you, man, I was listening to your voice. This is Tony, by the way. I've got to apologize. I had no idea until today that you had a podcast, the T4 podcast. And I got to tell you, man, I was checking it out today. That show just blows me away. I can't believe how smart you and your partner are on that show, man. It's crazy.
Oh, I appreciate that. We're geeks with a social life that actually go out and get in the fights and date women, unlike a lot of tech people.
That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. So you're still on the East Coast, right? So you've been getting hit with the snow and the good weather we've been having.
I'm in South Florida.
Oh, you lucky SOB. Wow. So what's it like down there?
Very nice, in the 70s right now. Cool. Like, it feels like fall if you live down here for a while. So I had to get away from the snow. I had enough of that.
No, I hear you. But in a couple of weeks, you'll be coming back up to defend the Extreme Rising World Championship against a mystery opponent. And I got to tell you, before we jump right into that, you know, I always looked at your time, you know, especially in ECW, as, you know, a time where maybe you should have gotten that title run. You know, I remember the build to the first pay-per-view, Barely Legal, where everybody in that main event three-way had a reason to be there. And I got to tell you, as the weeks went on and, you know, as the promos aired, you know, I started to get the feeling, I was like, damn, Stevie Richards might actually win this damn thing. And of course, I was a little disappointed that you lost, but I mean, I understand the whole Terry Funk story and you know, the Tommy Dreamer thing behind it. But I think the whole leader of the BWO and getting out from behind Raven's shadow was a big story then too. Do you think you would have been better off getting the ECW championship back in the day before it was, you know, like sold and taken over and whatnot?
No, I don't think it was my time. I don't think anybody. That was one of those things where the whole angle with Terry Funk, which is real life, you know, at the time he was winding down and then going to retire, you know, it was just that one last try for, you know, and he did a promo in front of his father's grave that was even more powerful than anybody could ever imagine. And, you know, there's no way that Terry could be denied that. But, you know, my place in there was to be the wild card, where people like you would look and say, maybe Stevie has a chance to win this. Wow. It's like, it just made you think. You have three guys where any three of them, even though Terry was the front runner in everybody's heart, you know, all three guys had a chance of really going their own direction and carrying the company. You know, everything happens for a reason. I don't, you know, it's wrestling. So if it was given to me, I would have carried it as much as I could. Now that I look back, I don't know if I was really mature enough for that position in the company.
I don't know. I disagree with that. I think you had a great place in the company at that point. I mean, you know, you were in a lot of high profile matches. I mean, yeah, somewhat thanks to Raven, but I mean, I never felt that, you know, Stevie getting in the ring was a walk in the park for anyone. I mean, you know, you had a lot of talent.
Yeah, but backstage, I'm talking about more backstage politics and maneuvering around that, and having the confidence in my own personality to coexist with others like Taz and Perry and other people. That's more important most times than actually what you can do in the ring, how you can be that company guy backstage.
I find that kind of odd, because I always saw you as the guy that could bring a smile to the crowd, or, you know, give somebody, you know, not only the wrestling, but a little bit of, I don't want to say comic relief, but I mean a little bit of levity to what could be like
intent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, but still, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, you have to be a certain level of maturity, like I said, that I reiterate, to coexist and get along or not get along and be professional with guys like that. And I was probably a little too immature and a little too sensitive to certain things. In the first run in ECW, I learned my lessons, because now I have that reputation for being that way and be able to have a good perspective on things that some guys might not.
And I think that's where it leads to nowadays. You are the current reigning Extreme Rising World Champion. How did that come about? Did you have any involvement with the reformation of the Extreme Movement with Shane Douglas and his partners? How did you get involved? How did you factor into the whole equation?
Just worked hard. Did all the things I usually do. Work hard, stay clean, make the right choices. Respect the business and the fans that pay their money to see guys that are, you know, that are in the best shape they can be in and perform at the highest level they can. And for once in a very blue moon, that kind of stuff shined through at Extreme Rising.
And any inklings on who you might be taking on December 28th? Have you heard anything? Is there anybody in the background that maybe you have an issue with, or is this going to be just totally surprise? You don't have any idea what they got in store for you?
No. People are going to think it's an angle, but I really have no idea who I'm working that night. It's a lot like Raw and Nitro, where it's all mixed up and everything, and they change the last second. So I'm used to that. It's a little more interesting because I've never been obviously in this position on a Raw or a Nitro to have to wrestle a, you know, main event style match for a title. You know, I just assume, it's my guess, that anytime I see a match like where it says mystery opponent, I'm always thinking they're trying to bring somebody completely from the outside who's never been seen in Extreme Rise, and that would probably be the logical choice, right? First time ever type thing.
Or it could be somebody from the old Extreme days that maybe we haven't heard from in a while. Somebody that, yeah. that, you know, would make that much of an impact as a mystery guy. I don't know. I really don't have an idea on that one.
Yeah, it'd be nice to finally have that match with Raven, and the arena would be even better than the Armory, but I haven't heard or seen much of Raven over the past few months or a year.
So you don't think it's going to be him?
I never say never. Who knows? If it was him, then fans finally get to see the match that we originally booked after I won the title. So that would be a good match. AJ Styles wouldn't be a bad choice. I don't know about the financials of AJ or any of that stuff, but that would be an interesting matchup with him leaving TNA or being separated from TNA and working the independents. And, you know, we don't have an issue, but we have a competitive nature with each other, especially when it comes to playing Madden. So that would translate very well into the ring.
Yeah, well, we were going to get there in a minute, but real quick before I get there, since you mentioned AJ Styles, what do you think of the possibilities of a Chris Hero coming in?
I love to work Chris Hero. I had a chance to obviously watch him work throughout Ring of Honor, especially with Claudio Castagnoli, known as Antonio Cesaro now. You know, I'll say one thing, he's much bigger in person than he looks on TV. So he's a big kid, and he's very, you know, very intense in the ring. His style would throw me for a little bit of a loop. I'm not used to that kind of striking the way he strikes, but I love those kinds of challenges. And if it's something the fans would really walk away saying, wow, I got something I didn't expect and something that, you know, I don't think I'm going to get too often in this business, that would be an awesome thing too.
Well, you brought up video games, and I have to ask you, a couple years back, there's a whole controversy about the MLB 2K11 pitching the perfect game. I didn't remember about it until we started hitting the books on Stevie Richards again. Whatever came of that? Was there anything that ever happened with 2K Sports? Did they ever do you a solid and do anything for you? I mean, you know, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, at least to guys like us who love like the baseball, this, you know, the football sports games.
No. I knew the contest didn't start yet. So nobody needs to feel sorry for me like they screwed me out of $1 million. Of course, I'm not going to fight the headlines because I got a good deal more exposure off that video game than I ever did at the 2 years of TNA. So it was good for that. It was good for that. I'm not taking a shot at TNA. I'm just saying video game stuff like the first guy to pitch the perfect game for $1 million prize is going to trump a lot of different wrestling promotions. But, you know, I just reached out through some social media because I live in Florida. They were having spring training. I figured I'm on TV right now. You know, maybe we could do something that's pretty cool. I mean, wrestling and video games always go hand in hand with that demographic. And, you know, they never really got back to me. As a matter of fact, they emailed me a 4-page PDF of the rules, which, you know, you got to read 4 pages of the rules to play a video game properly to win a contest. I don't need to be in those kind of contests anyway.
I got to know, who did you pitch the perfect game with?
Rory Holiday.
Of course you did.
What I did was I did everything on default. I do what everybody else does. I basically started my franchise mode. I skipped the spring training because I didn't really care about it. I'm not that hardcore into the role-playing aspect of it. I skipped the spring training, and I played game one against the Astros, and they were just biting on sinkers and a lot of off-speed pitches, and that was it. And it was on pro because I got the achievement. People that claimed it was on rookie watched the video. It says I unlocked an achievement for pitching a perfect game in pro mode and above.
You're a Philly fan?
I'm from Philly. I'm definitely I'm a Philly fan for life, but I'm more of an Eagles fan than a Phillies fan. I love football.
Well, that's rough. You guys are I'll tell you right now. I bet on the Eagles this week. It cost me $1,500 because they didn't cover the spread.
Wow.
Yeah.
You bet on pro wrestling too?
No.
You do better with that.
They tear it up against the Lions in a blizzard, and they can't go into a dome and fucking cover by 6 points
without Adrian Peterson playing and without That was nuts. I did not see that coming.
Nick Foles throws 100 touchdowns. None on Sunday.
Philly's no different than the New York teams, New Jersey teams. They're going to play down or up to the teams they play. It's the biggest Achilles heel of those three teams.
Well, I don't know how much more down you can play by throwing 5 interceptions this past week, but yeah, it's been pretty miserable all around this area. Pretty miserable.
Not for me.
That's right. He's a Dolphins fan.
Dolphins. Take Dan Marino and Snowflake and go jump off a cliff.
Easy.
Stevie, you've been involved in some pretty big moments in wrestling, and a lot of really entertaining moments as well. One of the things I was remembering is when you and Meanie used to do a lot of the impersonations back in ECW. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites, of course, was the Public Enemy. But I do also remember, and being the holiday season, the BWO appearance at Christmas time at Rockefeller Center in front of the big tree. Also, of course, if you fast forward, there was the whole Blonde Bitch project when you guys got to WWF. Is the thought process you and Meanie coming up with this? Are people pitching this stuff to you? Like, what goes into a lot of the stuff that you guys wound up doing?
It was really just, on-demand kind of request stuff a lot of times. Like, Dreamer would want to see something, and Raven would pitch it to Paulie, or Raven would want to see something. The thing in New York was Paul, obviously the camera crew and everything. We can't just go and say, hey, we want to do this and take a cram at camera crew all along New York City with, freezing temperatures. But there was a lot of times at the arena for stuff, we would just do stuff that Raven would do. And that was the best part about ECW. They would just roll the cameras, or you go out there in the ring and you would succeed or fail on your own talent. And that's why I think ECW still lives today. The guys were really allowed to entertain and be free, and it came across so much differently than everything else did that wrestling. See, and that's why people still talk about what me and Meanie did, or the BWO, or even me and Raven, or any mixture of that. So it's real humbling to know people still remember it and are entertained by it how many years later.
Speaking of which, I have to ask you about the whole crucifixion angle. I was there that night. Unfortunately, I didn't see the actual crucifixion because I was a nerd online to buy my tickets for the next show. So I sort of missed the whole thing. And I know you spoke about it on, at least the WWE documentary about, the rise and fall of ECW. Does time heal wounds with that? I mean, do you look back at it now and think like, it was just kind of a passing thing? Or is it still kind of like, one of those like, yeah, what were we thinking moments?
It's everybody gets so desensitized in these times, especially over the years. And you would think back and say, after everything that you've seen throughout your life on television, just the 24/7 news cycles, we're so desensitized to everything. But, the intention of it and the fact WWE did it like, 2 or 3 weeks later with a custom-made Undertaker cross.
Yep.
It's very controversial. I didn't feel comfortable with it at the time, and even today I could actually say no. That's probably why I felt uncomfortable, because I had to be out there and I didn't feel like I could say no.
Yeah.
Today I would just say no, and I would walk out, and if I really felt that strongly about it, I would walk out. Like if Extreme Rising wanted to do it on the 28th, I would just say, here's your belt. See you later.
Now, that time there was a big deal because Kurt Angle was being sought after by the company. And he was.
Yeah, he should be thankful that happened. Then this best thing never happened to Kurt. Besides going to ECW, his career could have took a much different path from ECW.
Very, very true. And what do you remember? What were your experiences with Kurt Angle at that time? And were you around for any of the stuff that resulted from him being upset or anything like that?
No. I was very good at. Staying away, and then obviously Taz had something to do with that too, because Taz was a huge fan of that type of stuff, UFC, amateur wrestling, and I had tried to avoid Taz at every turn, so I wasn't anywhere near any kind of interaction with Taz, Paulie, or Kurt. I know for a fact Kurt wasn't just, I mean, Kurt's a really nice, usually laid back guy, and from what I know of him now, when he gets mad, he's pretty much he might, he's mad, but he's not going to make a scene about it. He probably just said, F this, and walked out, very, very quickly, I guess.
you say you wanted to stay away from Taz. Has your relationship with Taz gotten any better over the years? I mean, I know you've guys...
Absolutely. 100 million times. Taz is actually more of a gamer than I am. I would probably venture to guess. No, Taz is, you know, that's the thing about ECW. No matter what problems or what issues back then seemed like they were too hard to overcome or too big to overcome, we really are like, it's nothing like it because obviously those guys go to real war and stuff like that. But it's like being in the Marines. We went through, we did our time there. And forever, whenever we see that guy from that time, it's always going to be good. It's a very, very good brotherhood, camaraderie. I just saw Angel from the Baldies, which I'd never worked with Angel. But when Extreme Rising came back as Extreme Reunion, we just happened to be in the same hotel. We worked out the night before in the hotel gym together, the only two guys in there, and bonded like that. And now it's just like we've worked together for however many years. And that's really across the board with ECW on no matter what generation of roster, it seems like that really holds true. At least, you know, 99.9% of the time.
So we take you from ECW to your time in WCW. Same kind of familial aspect to the locker room. Is there a big difference? What's it like when you cross over to Turnerland?
Everybody's happy because everybody's making money and kicking Vince's ass. So Vince, as in WWF at the time, so everybody was happy. And I wasn't really there all that long enough to really think about it. You know, thinking back on it, I should have stayed because the money was just being given out and Thunder was coming around and I was due to have a raise just for working an extra TV. But I don't think, if I stayed, like I saw a lot of guys just getting very content and comfortable and they were taken care of and paid very well, everybody there. I'm sure you guys know that what they got paid better than I did, but I don't think I would have had the work ethic. I think I would have had too much of an attitude that I deserved too much and didn't have to work for it. And so, you know, like I said, everything happened for a reason, and I'm sort of glad looking back that the path went the way it did.
Why was your run there so brief?
Raven and me, what our personal differences were just so bad and so far apart on everything, and you know, I went through it on the rise and fall of ECW DVD talking about, you know, I got the job there and I was expected to do certain things and I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to be treated like that anymore. And Raven had threatened me with my job. Of course, it's kind of weird, you know, to go to DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, to get me fired, who now I'm a certified DDP yoga instructor. Me and Page are as tight as can be, and me and Raven are as tight as can be. So how insane is the wrestling business? That's my question to you guys.
We're still trying to figure that out. If we come up with an answer, we'll be happy to tell you.
Like a guy I couldn't even stand to be around. Now it's like, you know, text and talk, like, no, you know, Taz, you know, you get a new Madden? No, what are you going to get, PS4, Xbox One? You know, me and Paige just never really talked and just whatever. And now, like, you know, we feel so passionate about the same things that have more in common than we could ever imagine outside of wrestling. It's just, it's such a great experience to not judge somebody by their looks or by the way they act, or actually get to know people over years that you never know how you're going to meet your best friend. You may hate them at first.
Before I get to DDP, I've got to ask you, Xbox One or PS4 at this point, is the jury still out? Or?
Jury's still out. I would put it this way. I got both of them in front of me right now. I'm not sure. I would say if you're just a gamer and you plan on one system household, the PS4.
Really?
However, if you are in a Windows environment and you're looking at the potential for media expenders, for streaming, and also you want it integrated in everything. Like, it's amazing that, you know, the CW app, the Netflix app, now it has Blu-ray, all the media apps and everything else. I haven't played a game on it yet. I've done everything but game on the Xbox One. I got Madden for the PS4. It's a very confusing time right now because they both have Blu-ray, so you can't say, well, I'm going to buy the PS4 for the Blu-ray and keep the Xbox for the games. It's, you know, Kinect is okay, but my voice, if you have a voice like mine, so me and Johnny Ace essentially can never use the Kinect without ours. Everybody else would probably be fine. But me and Johnny will be having trouble forever.
I saw on your personal Twitter that you did a Skype interview for Extreme Rising using the Xbox One.
Earlier today, it was flawless. The audio quality was very good.
Does that just bring it to a whole nother level? I mean, you don't even have to get up from your couch and go to your computer.
Well, that's the strength of it, actually, if you think about it. I was on a Skype interview, and I was watching the NFL, you know, the NFL.com videos and stuff as I was doing the interview. I was also searching things up there as Skype was snapped up in the corner. The only thing you can't do is play a game, the one thing you want to do, play a video game and Skype with your buddy while you talk trash, like, you know, video chat. And so the one thing that's the most useful or probably the most used isn't active yet, and that's what makes Xbox One seem half-baked. No streaming, but you can capture with capture devices, and it's really kind of... If you're technical, then you'll understand how you have to clear the RAM out by resetting the machine, or it just gets kind of bogged down, and then you have to do a hard reset on the machine, bring it back up, and then it's fine. Just like a PC, I should say. That's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, it's really weird. I just I just picked up a new desktop. I know, the days of the desktop. We still have one in this house, and it's running Windows 8, and I didn't tell it I had an Xbox 360, but damn it, when I turned it on and booted everything up, it knew I had an Xbox 360. It was pulling up information on all my games and who my friends were on the Xbox. It's crazy how these things are all just talking to each other now. Just
Yeah, actually, Windows Phone, and I'm gonna actually little plug. I'm gonna be in CES in Vegas next year, January 6th and 9th, with Nokia. And Nokia has some great Windows Phone products. I like Windows Phone. If I had to be on anything outside of iOS, it would be Windows Phone. It's just so beautiful. I mean, it's basically the Xbox interface on a phone, and it's really nice and clean and easy to use.
You heard it here. Stevie's going to be at the CES, what was it, January 6th through 9th? Beautiful.
6th to 9th, yeah.
Okay, let's get back to some wrestling just for a minute.
All the wrestling fans are so pissed right now.
The hell with them. I got to tell you, man, I'm really so glad that we were having you on the show, because I found out about your podcast and I found out so much more about you today. And you do have a voice for that podcast. It's you know, despite your complaints about it, I really did enjoy listening to Stevie Richards talking to me today. But I'm sorry, I'm digressing.
Speaking of complaints, is this the show that one of the guys, it might have been you, that said you weren't a big fan of mine for a very long time, but you liked my shoot interview?
No, I don't think that was us. Matt's looking at me funny. And yeah, I don't...
You said something about bad about the Ric Flair one, but something good about mine.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what? Let's just blame Eddie, because he's not here.
The voices sound familiar to me, too. That's why I was thinking about it.
No, not us.
Okay.
Not us.
No big deal.
Sorry about that. So we get to WWE now at this point. And you had quite a few great gimmicks in WWE. One that comes to mind, of course, is Right to Censor. One of my favorites was you're teaming up with Victoria. And, of course, you know, we had the reformation of the BWO. And it just goes to show, at that point, there were just so many opportunities for so many people in WWE. What was it like working for the company as a whole at that point? You know, coming from WCW, finishing up in ECW, you know, what's it like when you get there and having all these opportunities in front of you?
It's one of those things that, you know, it's just a blessing, because, you know, you realize by that point, at least if you've learned anything in the business, that, you know, it's so fleeting. I mean, you don't expect to get pushed, and you don't get disappointed if you're not being used. Do you know what I mean? You don't let the push and all the stuff with the subjective business define you. So, you know, you go into work, you try your hardest, whatever they give you, whether it be a 45-second match against Goldberg, or they give you a great gimmick with Victoria, or they're going to throw you in the Right to Censor, or they're just going to have you come out there and work with guys that are on TV for the first time and nervous as hell, and you're going to lead them through a 6 or 8 minute match to make them look like $1 million. All those jobs, or even go down to developmental and teach guys how to work. Go on house shows for 3 months with Batista and get them comfortable. These assignments, people might think, my God, I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting pushed, and I deserve this and that. But every one of those opportunities I call them, they have a value. They have a value. They show, each one of those shows a different talent on my part to be employed. Like, Stevie can do all this stuff, and that's why I was there 9 years. Anything they ever gave me to do, as mundane as it might seem, as beneath some people as it might seem, I just took it on and did my best and enjoyed it. So I never thought I was being punished. I always thought I was given an opportunity to shine or to give to others and contribute to the company's bottom line by helping guys get over to make money for the company, which made me money. So, you know, it was great. My favorite part was Stevie Knight Heat, obviously, because
yes.
of the urban yes. legend that they didn't know we were doing it for 7 months, which is 100% true. The company had no idea we were doing it.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
Let me go back to your time as the voice guy behind Chronic. Did you ever, and I guess you could even say this for Right to Censor too, did you ever think back then at that point, well, hey, now my role in the company is a spokesperson for other people? Did you ever think that that's where your career was going to go? Or do you always think in the back of your mind that I'm a wrestler, this is what I'm doing?
No, I just thought I was there as a talent. I mean, and I wanted to do more. I worked house shows at that point too. So I was working house shows and heat and dark matches and then going out with Chronic, which didn't last long.
Right.
But I did everything, and I wanted to be a commentator too. I mean, you know, they didn't like my voice too much. It's just, it's different. You know, I didn't find my voice. They didn't give me enough time by trying out for commentary to see if my voice could be a good fit. You know, if they want you to fit, you'll fit. If not, then you won't. But it goes back to what you said. I should say, you know, wrestling, spokesperson, commentator, even moving to Connecticut early on in my WWE career to be near a studio and try to learn the backstage stuff or even maybe possibly an office job in the future. These are all things I positioned myself to show them that I was, you know, fully committed to WWF, WWE.
Right. So
everybody just thinks I showed up. Everybody thinks I just showed up back from commercial after watching the Marine trailer during the commercial break and was ready to get beat up in 20 seconds. So I did a little more than that.
No, and that's great.
I did enjoy the Marine trailer. Me and Danny Doran used to keep count on how many Marine trailers, and then what was the second one that we seen? Where's another movie? See No Evil.
See No Evil.
So we, you know, I think I saw 9 movie trailers during break when I was in the ring, and he beat me by doing I think 10 or 11. So.
Now you mentioned Danny Doring, and I know we're kind of all over the place, but we jump back to Extreme Rising. You're declared the first ever Extreme Rising champion. Going into WrestleMania weekend, you're supposed to wrestle Raven, and then the company cancels their shows. You go on social media, and you and Danny challenge each other in a game of, I believe it was Madden, for the title, and the Extreme Rising offices were not very pleased with that.
No, they weren't. We were, but they weren't. We thought it was great.
Did who won?
Well, apparently
we haven't
Stevie
played
won.
Yet. We played just a couple games, and it was 1-1. No joke, 1-1. He blew me out, and then I crushed him. I will say this about the whole situation. I'll give you the way it went down. So I just put the picture up just saying, you know, I'll have to defend the title, so I'll just do this. And just a funny little thing. And then it just kind of blew up. And then I got an email from management saying that I was expecting a call from Shane because I really love when he gets mad and cuts promos on me because I think it's funny. But I didn't get that. I got the email saying send the belt back and blah, blah, blah. And I just defended this belt in Germany. I've been defending on every indie show I could work, by the way. I've been trying to actually bring a little bit of a feel to the belt, you know, when I'm not defending it for them. I'm defending against other guys. So, you know, I called up Doring and I said, do you believe what's going on? He's laughing. He's like, yeah, Mike Johnson just said, is this like real? Like, does he really have heat? And I go, tell Mike to call me. I want to, you know, Mike Johnson's Pro Wrestling Insider. He's always been a friend of me and Doring. And he interviewed me, And I said, I see, he was asking me, and I go, I have no idea about this, no idea about this. I go, but if you're going to quote me on anything, quote me on this. I said, the thing that hurts the most is that the company doubted my ability as a Madden player. And,
that is awesome.
Man.
So,
hey, you know what, John? Well, Mike Johnson says, "I thought I saw it all, and I've never seen this before." You know, you've given them something special.
Yeah, Mike Johnson's a great. I love that site, PW Insider. Nice shout out to those guys.
So, so obviously, I mean, they didn't. Did you send the belt back? It seems like you still have it. I mean, you're still the champ.
My cat's my kid in Snickers is laying on it right now, Bobby.
Tell him your cat's name, Matt.
Okay, Snickers.
Snickers, and yeah, I have three cats, so it's no secret.
Okay, we have Snickers.
But,
who else?
But, you know, I won't say. What's that?
Who? What are the other two?
Snickers, Shannon, and Pooh Bear.
Pooh Bear,
so,
nice.
Little
nice.
Trivia for somebody out there. Yeah, next time you have a show, you give away prizes. Do that trivia.
That's actually a great idea.
Get it right.
I do enjoy the pictures you put out. I have a cat, the Great Muda. Don't laugh. I do enjoy the pictures you put up of your cat. I follow you on the Facebook. You always seem to catch him in the wonderful facial moments where he just has that. It almost looks like it's photoshopped.
These cats, exotic short hairs, Maine Coons is the big one, Pooh Bear. But the Scottish Fold, Shana, is the one that looks like a Muppet. She's the one that looks like an animatronic kind of thing. And we almost got a fourth miniature, like those midget ones that never grow beyond 3 pounds.
Yeah.
And I said, this, I go, if I said to my girlfriend, if I ever get signed to another deal, we can have 10 cats, but let's just wait to see, like, you know, nobody's doing that well to have 4, 5, 6 cats. So let's just take it easy.
Yeah.
For
now. My brother has two, and they just got the Christmas tree, and they're posting pictures. The cats can't get out of the Christmas tree. I swear to God, the cat. There's pictures of the 10 pictures of just the cats in the Christmas tree, and they're just like sleeping.
Yeah, I may actually have the worst idea ever. I've been trying to push for finding a pet friendly Santa to bring all three of them, which I assume Santa will have all sorts of cat pee and stuff all over him by the end of that. Only one travels well. The other two, they don't. What was I going to say, though? Getting back to the Extreme Rising thing. I joke about, you know, the cat does lay on the belt, but it's not, like, thrown off to the side by the, you know, as a doorstop or anything. I respect the company and everything they've done. I respect the championship. And I really did work very hard throughout a tournament to have some, what I believe to be very good matches against Papadon, against Luke Hawks, and also against Rhino, and really gave a good launching pad for the title. It's a shame that logistics and maybe trying to think, too big too quickly may have cost us some momentum. We had really good momentum last December, and hopefully we can regain that.
I think so. Going back, being the first show at the arena since it closed down, I mean, what better place to have the Extreme Rising show run than in the original home of ECW. Yourself being there since day one, I mean, what's it going to be like for you just to step back in that building and main event the show?
You know what? It just like any other building, I walk into it, like I said, it's an opportunity. It's going to look completely different. They've renovated it. I don't know if it's going to have the same feel walking into it as I did before, where if I did walk into it now, I'd be like, wow, we were going to do a thing for One Night Stand about the ECW arena where me, Meanie, and Nova walk into the arena. You ever see like the old WWE legends where, you know, Blassie's sitting up there and
yes.
Girl on screen, you know, the black, really,
all the black and white.
Masterpiece of like, you know, B-roll stuff and everything. Well, we were going to do sort of the same exact thing, and then standing in the middle of it, looking around at the end, go, man, this place is a dump. And open up the pay-per-view.
It is one of a kind. We have the debate many times on this podcast about ECW and the arena. And we're very biased about it because we were there. We were there for those shows. And we feel like the people that never got to experience an ECW show there just don't fully understand the impact that ECW had on wrestling.
No, I don't slight that either. I live 10 minutes from the building, you know, so for me it was an easy trip, and also it's a very good trip, you know, to think about, you know, going down there and everything. I still get the same feeling like when I did that little video promo with management that day, promoting the show. You know, it's got the same feeling when you're walking up to the corner where those metal doors come up. You know, it's kind of weird.
Now, you've been in the wrestling business for well over 20 years now, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but you're now in the best shape of your career, in my opinion. I think this is the best you've ever looked, better than 15 or so years ago, and you owe a huge debt of that to DDP Yoga. How did yourself get involved with DDP at DDP and the product?
Well, you know, me and Paige have always been, you know, friendly. And then, you know, he obviously wants all the boys to do the yoga, all everybody in wrestling to, you know, people might think he's pushing the yoga on people. But, you know, he never charged guys for the longest time for the yoga. So what's he trying to push? He's trying to push you to get healthy and better your life. So, you know, we all get to be a certain age, and especially when you get to your 40s with wrestling 23 years plus now. And, you know, it's a necessity to change your regimen. You know, you can't really lift all that heavy outside of doing things to help you, which I don't do. And you know, yoga is the natural thing. Everybody always switches their workouts eventually from the heavy lifting to certain core exercises, movements, Pilates, yoga, even just basic aerobics, you know, outside of that. I am in really good shape. I don't think I'm in the best shape. I always think I could be better, but I always look at that 2005 version of me, where I was putting on size and lifting a lot of weight and able to do that without any kind of joint pain. And I always want to go back to looking like that. So, you know, I try to incorporate different hybrid stuff. Like this past year has been a big experiment between the yoga being the main thing and doing other workouts like different P90X variations, Athlean X. You know, and now I'm back on Body Beast, and now I'm trying to do, it's called dog crap training. It's a very heavy and light. Yeah, I know it's a weird name. They call it BC training for short. But it's phases of doing like sets and then taking a bunch of deep breaths and then doing another set. And you're doing that for your max for like three times, you know, three different sets, but within one big set. But getting back to it, Paige will get mad that I'm mentioning other workouts, but the DDP yoga is the center of all that. It really is. It used to be an auxiliary workout where it'd be like, okay, I'll get around that and stretch, or I'll do it before my match. But now it is the thing that daily helps me just stay loose, stay focused, stay centered, and also enhances my lifts, enhances the other physical activities that I try to do. So it's just amazing. Until you're backed into a wall, if you're a guy, until you're backed into a wall like Paige was, like I am, and like anybody else our age, you're not going to believe in it. Only when you have to do it, then you'll start realizing the benefits of it. And one more thing I'll add. The thing that scares guys about yoga, and it always still scares me when I try to take other yoga classes, guys think what yoga is? Flexibility, right? Number one thing is flexibility, and I can't bend over, and I can't touch my toes, and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually?
True. Yeah, all right. I can't do it.
DDP yoga, flip the script around. So the top three things are basically, you'd say flexibility, dynamic resistance, and cardio. Flip it around. The number one thing you get out of DDP yoga is cardio. It raises your heart rate, you burn calories, and do all that stuff without any impact, without jumping up and down or doing anything. Dynamic resistance is like weight training with dumbbells, with barbells, with resistance bands, using your own body weight to use that, using slow burn or slow-mo reps. Number three, and it's a byproduct of the first two, is flexibility. So the flexibility will come, but if you look at what you're going to fail at first, you're obviously going to have a shitty workout. But if you look, guys can do cardio, guys can lift weights. Then if they get the flexibility, they get it before they even realize they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, we over here, I mean, Tony did DDP yoga. He lost about 60 pounds. I did it. I lost about 20 pounds. I mean, it is unbelievable. I'm not a gym guy. I don't like going to the gym. But it's so easy for me to roll out the yoga mat and spend, you know, 30, 45 minutes And, you know, I mean, it helps. I'm a wrestling fan. Just having DDP in my living room, inhale tension, all the good stuff. Before you know it, you're done, you're sweating, and you feel great. And then I did I changed my whole style of eating where I used the whole, the eating plan, and it was amazing.
Matt was coming home from the supermarket, like, I bought sheep's cheese, I bought buffalo meat. He's like, I'm eating healthy. And God bless him, he's looking a lot better. Looking a lot better. And feeling better, too. That's amazing. The big thing.
You should put some pictures up on the Facebook page for him, and he'd love to see him.
Yeah, I talked to Dallas back in April during WrestleMania weekend over at WrestleCon, and that was my one regret because, you know, I just wanted anything to work. I just started doing it. I didn't, you know, when you're rocking close to 300 pounds, you kind of don't want to take pictures of yourself and you don't want to look at yourself. You just want to, you know, start the change and gosh darn it, boy, when the change started coming, nothing is a bigger high to me anyway than being able to go to the store and buy a pair of pants that's like 2, 3, 4 sizes smaller. It's what a great feeling that is. And I know people that have done DDP yoga since, and they've all told me the same thing. They're like, yeah, I had to go to the store. I had to buy smaller clothes. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you got to buy new clothes, but isn't it great that you're buying smaller clothes for a change? Like, yeah, it really is. It's amazing.
That's amazing. Congratulations, Ben.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Not that
you
I'm trying
to take a picture with your shirt off or anything, even if you have an old picture that where you look that big.
Oh, I have plenty of those.
Yeah, to do it, because it's not so much to put yourself out there and do whatever, but when more people do that, you know, when I say something like, hey, you know, during the past year, I've not eaten right, and I've looked at myself with matches, and yeah, I gained a little bit of weight around my problem areas, and I just need to tighten up, and I fall short sometimes. People like that because they don't feel like they're failing. They just think it's like, hey, I'm going to have bad days, I'm going to have good days, or this person did it, so I can do it. There's all sorts of different motivational things for people that'll definitely help. You know, so they might say, well, there's only 25 people up here on Facebook that have changes. Well, no, there's 26. Wow, that's enough to get me going.
So you're certified now. Does that mean that we're going to start seeing Stevie Richards' yoga classes in the future?
Oh, they've already started in September. Yeah.
Nice.
I've been doing them since September. The second I got certified, I was lining up gyms. Every time I wrestle in any area, I do yoga classes, if I can, right before the show in the building. I'm going to try to do it before Extreme Rising, if the space and the time warrant it. So right there at the ECW Arena, we're trying to put it together to where I'll teach a DDP yoga class and maybe have have a group of what a Q&A session, give out a free picture with it, all for one price. So that, and also I tried to schedule it today, but it might work out since we had this interview. Tomorrow I'm going to try to schedule, or Thursday, DDP Yoga live hangout, live Google Hangout on air. So the people have done it like you guys have. I'm going to offer the level one workout, my own little custom version of it. And if you're familiar with it, then you'll be able to follow along. If you're not familiar with it, then recommend you get the DVDs first and get familiar with all the principles like you guys had to go through and me before you try doing it.
That is awesome. Imagine that, showing up at the ECW arena and you're doing yoga with Stevie Richards.
I'm in.
Much different than what used to happen in that building.
Wow. One other thing I have to ask you about, something that really bugged the hell out of me when I saw it, because, I mean, I love the BWO. I always was entertained by you guys, including that fourth member of yours, Thomas Rodman, who we actually are buddies with on the Facebook, and we chat with quite a bit. But the original, I think it was the original One Night Stand, where there was the big battle between the WWE guys and the ECW guys, and Meanie got roughed up by JBL. Anything coming of that? I mean, do you talk to John Layfield at all anymore? I mean, is it water under the bridge? I mean, you know, I go back and I watch that, and that was pretty intense, and it just seemed like out of left field when that happened.
Yeah, they were just at a convention. We were all at a convention a few months ago, and him and Meanie took a picture together. So
wow,
and they talked, and I said hello to him, and yeah, it's whatever it is. It's the I guess it's water under the bridge. So I don't really, I'm not even involved with any of that. I saw it, and it's one of those things you can't believe it's happening when you're watching it. And it was too late to do anything about it until after it was all over. But, you know, these things, people hopefully grow up or settle their differences. Life's too short to hold that kind of stuff without trying to hash it out one way or the other. And I assume that's what they did. And he had the match with him on SmackDown, which we were out there for. And JBL did good business. It didn't hurt Nene, so I'm assuming everything was good after that.
Were you surprised many years later to hear that Joey Styles got the better of JBL?
I did hear about that. Nothing. I mean, it's wrestling. Nothing surprises me. And, you know what I mean? And everybody's always got a shot. You know what I mean? And everybody's always got a shot of going down too. And in the real world of fighting, so that's why I don't get in the real fights. That's why I chose wrestling.
Now, being a part of Extreme Rising, it seems like they're on the cusp of something coming back to the arena. They have the TV deal starting at the beginning of the year in the Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey area. Extreme Rising made a name for itself off the Stevie Richards and the Sabus and the Rhinos. But there's an influx of lots of great young talent. Papa Don, Luke Hawks, Facade's going to be there on the 28th. Is there someone you've had the opportunity to see where you're very impressed and you think they have a great future ahead of them?
Well, all three of those guys you just mentioned, all three of those guys are probably the future of this company. But, it's hard to say, but the one guy out of those three, I would say, but, you know, out of those three, they're all great talents, but it has to be Luke Hawks. Luke Hawks is he's a star, without a doubt. And the thing that probably keeps people like WWE and TNA from really bringing Luke on or signing Luke is the same thing that gets him over. He's brash. He talks. He's honest. He's himself. He doesn't care what people think. He's in your face. Really good worker, you know, borderline great worker when he gets more experience on the big, you know, you're a great worker when you've been through all the experiences. So that's not slighting his ability. He needs to get up there. And WWE and TNA, especially WWE, that's where I'd like to see him. You know, WWE would be fools not to sign him as soon as possible because he offers something completely different than any of the other guys. He could talk people into the building. He's already done it in Extreme Rising, and why couldn't he do it in WWE?
Yeah, he seems to take to the Twitter, and he's not a big Matt Hardy fan, which is entertaining for me, just because I like to watch them go back and forth.
I mean, he's not a heavyset girl with purple hair, so what do you expect?
No, he's the complete opposite, actually. but he really does help sell the Extreme Rising promotion. I know back during WrestleMania weekend, he really took to, you know, busting the balls of the Shane Douglases and the Ravens. And
that whole thing's 100% real, too. And Luke has been where every wrestler's been. You know, I've been in the past by the people that I thought were my, you know, never meet your heroes, right? You know, you really looked up to guys like Shane Douglas, and something happened between them where Shane slighted them, and that took Luke on a whole new direction. But it also took Luke on the direction of, you know, saying, you know, screw you, I'm going to work as hard as I can, and one day I'm going to beat your ass in the ring. So that motivated him, you know, which is a very real thing. Don't people think it's an angle between those two? They really don't like each other. We were backstage before the finals, before the semifinals and finals of the show 1 year ago, and I was in between them trying to squash it and everything and trying to get it to a point where they could at least work together, and I couldn't do it.
Steve, you actually have a question.
I'm not the locker room leader anymore. See you guys later.
Just a couple more things before we let you go. One of our Twitter followers actually asked a question regarding one of your cohorts in Extreme Rising. How have your dealings been, if you've had any, because I'm not sure if you have or not, with Perry Saturn? And how has Perry Saturn been doing? Because that's a name that has resurfaced lately. And just want to get, I guess, a first-hand take on how Perry Saturn is and what's he doing.
Well, Perry, I think he just got hired to be a trainer at the Performance Center, right? He did, and if that's true, I know he was taking trips there. So he's been doing trips off and on for WWE to the Performance Center dating back to when they were in Tampa. If he got hired as a full-time trainer, congratulations. It's great to see him
Absolutely.
Get another chance. yeah, this is how weird wrestling is. Perry was one of the guys that was so hard on me in ECW, and right along with Taz. So we were in New York going to an independent show for Sniff James. He's a developmental wrestler there at NXT now, great talent. So anyway, we're in the car, and he was like, "Hey, Stevie, I got a question for you." And I'm like, "Oh," and you know, deep down, I'm still that kid. I'm like, "Oh shit, what did I do?" and he's like, "Why the hell is it that when I do my franchise mode in Madden," and I go, "Oh my God, are you kidding me? You too? You play Madden?" Like, "Yeah, man, I can't believe I try to trade for this effing guy, and I just can't, you know, Jesus, I can't, it's all white noise at this point. All I heard was he's playing Madden, and he's pissed off about his franchise, and I'm just like, completely just like, I can't believe this." But that's if that gives you any indication of how laid back he is now and how he's, you know, doing well, he's come from, I can't even tell you because we didn't really talk about it, but, you know, coming from where I heard he came from,
right,
being homeless and drugs and all this other stuff, to now getting that second chance and coming back and having a great attitude about it. Like some people can really carry that around, like, and feel sorry for themselves, but you'd never know it by talking to him. You would think he just talks about his wife and his kids and stuff like that, and it's just a regular guy.
That's awesome. Those are the stories that
still scares the hell out of me a little bit.
Those are the stories that you wish you heard more of.
Yeah, we everything that happened back in last April with Justin Credible, with Sabu, we know Justin quite well, and he just recently passed a year sober. So, you know, it's always good to hear, you know, good stories that come out of such negative such negative areas, because there were a lot of guys that we remember that came up, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, that just aren't around anymore. So it is nice to see, I guess it's a silver lining there, where a lot of guys are getting away from it and turning things around. And, you know, it's a struggle, mind you, but, you know, we look at Jake Roberts, we look at Scott Hall, we look at Justin, and it's just such a positive thing that something good is actually coming out of everything terrible that's gone on over the years.
Yeah, hopefully we've turned the corner, but it's always going to be prevalent no matter what sport or entertainment that you watch or take part in. It's not just wrestling. It's everywhere in entertainment and sports. It's just the wrestling is much smaller. And, you know, what was the ratio? Like, the amount of people that died 1 year was like if 35 baseball players died.
Yeah.
That's the way. That's why it's so pronounced. Plus, people look down on wrestling, and it's always a negative news story. There's never any good that really comes out of it. They never put any Make-A-Wish stuff up there or any of the really the good stuff that WWE or wrestling in general does.
Right.
And no, it's always going to be that way.
Yeah, it's always some, you know, some dopey 12-year-old decides to break his sister's neck giving her a pile driver, and, you know, right away it's all Vince McMahon's fault, and, you know, wrestling sucks, and look what it makes children do. But
it's the way it is, man.
Well, in the defense of that, I thought they were going to give that kid a contract. I really did, because he really wanted it.
He earned it.
Well, maybe that's your mystery opponent on Saturday.
Hey, listen, plenty of people have got contracts broke my neck, too. So.
Jesus.
A boo.
Oh, man.
Real quick, before we let you go, when ECW made its return, I guess if you want to call it that, as part of WWE, you didn't return to the old Dancing Stevie outfit with the short shorts and the Flock of Seagulls or insert band here cutoff shirts. Was that never in the cards for you to go back to the old school gimmick, considering it was the return of ECW?
No, and I don't know if it would even fit, because how can you capture that without having Raven, without having somebody like that? There was a time and a place for that look, and that look came with a certain immaturity and attitude, and, you know, it was an extension of kind of my real self at the time, just fun loving and just, you know, when I was in WWE and the new ECW, it would not have translated as well, because they've seen a different part of me already. No matter what, I could give a look or a presence in the ring or do whatever to make people think about the right to censor without even realizing they're thinking of the right to censor. I do it all the time. Even when I just put, if I just put my hand up before I start talking, no matter what I look like, and if I come across as a heel, they're going to boo me because they remember that hand signal. They remember right. certain things or certain sayings that I say, and it always gets over, even on the indies.
Do you ever pull that out? Do you ever pull out different variations of yourself yeah. on the indies?
Yeah. Yeah, I did the right stencil for two or three shows. You know, just did my Steven Richards after I cut my hair. I figured it would just be fun. Now I'm doing more like with the Victoria at House of Hardcore because my hair's going back. I go back to Wacko Stevie. I'm very hashing them all, man. Why
That's
not?
Awesome.
As we go along.
So many of them.
I'm not going to rehash the last 3 or 4 years of my WWE run unless I wanted to wrestle short matches.
Is Dr. Stevie in the works for a rehash?
I wish. That was one of my favorite things to do, and I'm really disappointed that, you know, I was grateful for it, but I didn't think that going back into EV2 was a smart idea because the Dr. Stevie character was fresh, it was new, it was TNA created.
Yeah.
So why would they want to go back to something like that? Also, I had an idea, and I thought it was very interesting that the ECW guys were trying to get me to join, and I was acting like I didn't even know who they were. Like, Stevie Richards never existed.
Right.
I was just Dr. Stevie. What are you talking about? I've been practicing psychiatry for the past 10 years. What are you talking about? Stevie Richards guy.
Ah, maybe the
I thought it was cool.
Maybe the Dr. Stevie has some sort of tie-in with Joseph Park. Maybe we'll find that out. But I tell you, I really did enjoy the whole Dr. Stevie angle. I agree with you that ended way too quickly. I think that had a lot of potential to it. But that's just my opinion. What do I know?
No, you're right. I mean, you know, they didn't create many stars, but that was seriously, I think, one of them that they could have created. And number one reason was it was a good heel. It was a good heel to work with any babyface on the show and showcase the babyface like I did with Abyss. I knew my role,
right?
But they just dropped stuff just like that, and it's disappointing.
And I think that's the great thing about your entire career, where you know everything that you've been put in, like you said, you knew your role and you just did it well. And I think that's why Stevie Richards, no matter, you know, what character, you know, he played or what flavor of the month he was, that's why he's had such a long career. And that's why, you know, there's been longevity to no matter what he's done. And I think that's a big testament to you as a person. So, you know,
I hope you keep
it rocking with the extreme.
But come on, you guys work regular jobs during the day, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, there's worse things to be asked to do than to lose a fake wrestling match. There's worse things the boss can tell you to do for pretty damn good money, too.
Yeah.
So I always looked at it that way. I had real jobs. I still have real jobs. I still like working in technology and fitness and all the other stuff. I know what it's like to work a real job, so I know where wrestling fits in there. Some guys lose sight of that.
Will we ever see the return of Lloyd Van Buren?
If there's an Extreme Rising ticket office, possibly. I would just definitely have to make them hook up Fire Pro Wrestling in the office like we used to.
Nice.
Me and Gabe always played it.
Great,
I'm sure you heard those stories too.
Very nice. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Stevie, is there anything you'd like to plug before we let you go? Besides Extreme Rising Saturday, December 28th, at the arena, extremerising.com, Stevie Richards main eventing, defending the Extreme Rising World Championship against a mystery opponent. You also see the Matt Hardy, Luke Hawks grudge match, Devin Storm against Rhino, Sabu is going to be there, all your favorites, past and present. Definitely get out there, support Stevie Richards, support Extreme Rising, and just independent wrestling in general. Anything you'd like to leave us with, Mr. Richards?
Well, that Sabu match, it's Sabu versus the Side, first time ever, which I'm personally looking forward to. It's going to be amazing. So other than that, just go to ddpyoga.com. If you want a code, I got a code to save you 5% off if you really want to try it out, you know, and save a little bit of money. Just email me, stevie@ddpyoga. I'll email you stevie@ddpyoga.com, and I'll respond back, and then my signature will have the very long code that I can't shorten for some reason. So I'll just copy and paste it. Other than that, go to T4 Show, the letter T, number 4, SHOW.com, and check out all the tech stuff that these guys discovered tonight. Very good stuff.
Yeah, I really do enjoy that podcast. That's making it into my regular rotation, as if I don't have enough to listen to as it is. But like I said, sir, I really enjoyed that. Do we have a Twitter and a Facebook to for us?
Yeah, it's confusing. My Twitter is at Michael Manna. It's my real name. I can't get Stevie Richards. So whoever's Stevie Richards, He doesn't tweet Michelle Beadle about the AJ Lee incident like I do. So he's not entertaining. I said, please don't tweet me back. My jealous girlfriend will get mad. That was yesterday. But our net, the Stevie Richards DDP Yoga Facebook page, too. Just look up Stevie Richards DDP Yoga. Like the page. Going to have a lot of good stuff going on every day or so. Going to put up something really interesting.
Awesome.
That's it.
That's great. Stevie, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Good luck on the 28th, and we will keep in touch, my friend.
Take care, guys. Have a great holiday.
You too, man.
This is Mike Norenganger, and before there was Facebook, before Blu-ray, and before cell phones, there was the last old school generation. Join me and my co-host, Adam Henning, on the Midnight Jury as we take you on a trip back to the 80s and 90s. We debate pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture, all from WLW Studio South in Philadelphia. Let us transport you back to that last old school generation and join in our debate on the Midnight Jury. You can find us at facebook.com/WLW Studios, and we are available on iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Radio for the Shining Wizards Network at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Finish this episode of the Shining Wizards. Get off that $12 whore you just tore apart and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show, covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network, available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audioboo, podcasts.com, and of course at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Okay, we are back.
Stevie Richards killing it.
Stevie Richards fucking rules,
a lot,
man.
Of fun.
I'm not joking. That fucking that podcast that he does is awesome. You got to be a little into like tech, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they reviewed Madden 25. The show that I was listening to, they were talking about it. Then they were talking about wiring your house for the internet and
trip
not
deal,
and not dealing with Wi-Fi. And then they were talking about, I think they were talking, they were going to talk about getting estimates for a fence in your yard. Like his partner brought it up. So it was just kind of like all over the place. But
I just
like,
did that.
It was really interesting shit. What? Fence?
I had to get an estimate for a fence, yeah.
Hmm. Are you happy with the results?
Yeah, I am.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Do you need help putting your fence in?
Ow. No, we already did it.
Oh.
So just a reminder, go out there, support Stevie Richards, Extreme Rising, extremerising.com, December 28th at the ECW Arena. I'm going to make the trip. I don't know about the rest of the Wizards, but I'm definitely going to get down there to the arena and check it out.
Kevy got worky.
Yeah, and don't forget, reach out to Devin Storm.
I'd
be happy to, you know, hook up with you and reach out to you, whatever.
Do me a favor,
just plug that in. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I don't plug
it. Yeah, if you start playing something, we might not hear it.
So sticking with the ECW arena, I know CZW used to run there, and I went. Thank you. Is this the right one, or is it this one? Well, all right. Because of the bad weather.
Attaboy.
I told you I ate the whole fucking pizza.
Matt's awesome at one syllable words.
I got up because I thought there was some pizza left.
I told you I ate the
he
whole
said
thing.
He made it abundantly clear that he ate the pizza.
Yeah, but sometimes
pizza.
When people say, like, oh, my God, I ate a pizza, like, they don't mean that. Like it's like I ate a horse, you know? You don't
eat the whole horse? Fucking, like, what do you mean? You eat half the horse?
Well, no, it's hungry as a horse. Never mind.
No, it's so hungry I could eat a horse.
Oh, there you go.
But outside of my little pizza gaffe in the CZW, which we'll get into.
Pizza gaffe.
It was, I kind of got awkward when he thought we were somebody else.
Yeah.
What was that about?
I thought he was like ready to start a fight with us.
What was he asking about?
Somebody liked him until they saw his shoot interview?
Or they hated Ric Flair's shoot, but they liked his?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It really
it wasn't
threw me
us,
for a
right?
Loop.
It wasn't. No, was it Eddie or wasn't you?
Well, yeah. If it was, let's blame Eddie.
I've never seen a Stevie Richards or a Ric Flair shoot, so I don't
either.
Know.
Actually, the only thing I've seen was part of the Ric Flair shoot where he shoots on Shane Douglas, where he said Shane Douglas didn't draw a dime in this business.
Who, Ric Flair?
Yeah, it's a usual, you know.
Yeah, that's
Ric
been
Flair,
going on
Shane
forever.
Douglas hatred.
Oh, I don't know, beats me.
Yeah,
that was a little
it definitely
awkward.
Wasn't us.
I didn't.
All right, good.
No, I think for the most part we're pretty. I don't think we've really ruffled anyone's feathers outside the one time I asked.
We've never ruffled anyone's feathers, dude. No,
I asked Brodus Clay what it's like to have him with a midget, referring to Hornswoggle, and he actually responded to me.
Where, on Twitter?
Yeah.
What'd he say?
I don't know. I'm a big fat piece of shit. I don't know.
He said that about you?
No, I don't know what he said. Yeah. So anyway, Saturday night, bad weather. I decided to spend the $15 and order the CZW iPay-per-view.
And, not a bad night in.
I will tell you, it was worth every single penny. CZW top to bottom. I'm not a big CZW fan. I've never really seen a CZW card. So I didn't know what I was in for. I know that. Back after ECW closed, they were huge on death matches. That there was that whole thing where the dude got hit with the weed whacker.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Fluorescent tubes.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys getting fucked up for like literally no reason. And that's why I wasn't a fan of Combat Zone Wrestling for a long time. But, you know, with this whole age of like Drew Gulak where they were getting more into, you know, more wrestling, still doing some of the hardcore. Like, I know DJ Hyde likes to have his hardcore matches, but, you know, by and large, it's become more of just, you know, wrestling instead of just hardcore stuff.
Yeah, this card is the epitome of that. Cage of Death, 15.
Of course.
Main event, Cage of Death. What they do, if you're not familiar with it, they take the ring ropes down and they surround the cage with barbed wire. There was like a lattice for a fence outside the ring.
What? Say lettuce for
no,
a fence.
Lattice. No, he said lattice.
Oh, what's lattice?
It's like that check. It's like a checkerboard turned diagonal.
That's the fence. Like a wooden fence.
I thought you said lettuce. Like, no. Watch out for that lettuce.
There might be. I mean, who knows?
He's frying his brain doing DDB yoga.
DDB.
Tables outside the ring with barbed wire, plates of glass. There's a scaffold above the ring.
Like plates, like with glass on them, or just like sheets of glass?
No, like a sheet of glass.
Oh, my God.
There's a scaffold upside the ring, above the ring, that you climb the cage, because there's a cage on two sides.
Cage of Death.
You climb the cage, and then you're on the scaffold. Then there's a mystery box, and they open the mystery box,
what's
and thumbtacks.
It's my dick in a box.
Thumbtacks, glass, and Legos fell out of the box into the middle of the ring.
God, Legos. I don't know why Legos haven't become, like, weren't part of, like, garbage wrestling a lot earlier.
Yo, you remember
Legos fucking hurt.
Do you remember Duplos? Like, the big-ass Legos? Those things were weapons, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even the little Legos, like, the real tiny ones.
Step
like,
on them?
Oh, yeah.
Forget about it. The heads?
The heads.
Oof. So, and then there was, they tied, like, 8 chairs together. On like a piece of fence with barbed wire, and they cut it, and it swung down like a gate and smashed somebody into the barbed wire.
Like a booby trap?
Yes, like
Why?
A booby trap. I don't know.
These guys should be part of NASA.
It was... The main event itself was awesome. Devin
Moore... It
would have
been like me this past weekend. Snowed in.
Devin Moore, PWS alumni.
Alumni?
Alum.
He's still there.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. PWS participant.
Attaboy.
He took place in the Cage of Death along with Danny.
He took place. I'm sorry.
Keep going.
Keep going. Don't get mad at me, bro. Come
I
on.
Sent you all the information. You could have done some research. Both you fucking lazy jerk offs.
He's getting so mad.
That's all right.
Not mad.
He's the only one that actually watched wrestling this weekend.
Exactly.
I watched the pay per view.
Did you?
We'll get to that.
We'll get to it.
I didn't watch all of it.
Abysmal abortion. Danny Havoc, Lucky 13, Danny Blood, Matt Tremont, Rory Mondo. These guys fucking killed each other. Devin Moore took somebody in a fireman's carry on the scaffold and then jumped off through a plate of glass and
like
barbed wire.
Like a rolling?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's awesome.
From the scaffold.
Why?
Because he's a crazy person.
Devin Moore is sick in the head.
Why?
Because it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick match, and there's only, you know, I've unfortunately been suckered into buying the best of Japanese death matches where they fight over a fucking tank full of piranhas.
I remember that. The floating ring and the water with the... wasn't floating, but...
Why can't they just fight in the bathhouse like they did in IWI?
That was terrible, too. Fucking bathhouse match.
Yeah, at least you got to see titties, and they weren't like Abdullah titties.
So, I mean, it was sick. It's elimination style, and they enter almost like war games. You lose by pinfall, submission, or getting thrown out of the ring onto the floor.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was like a bunkhouse stampede where you have to throw somebody over the top of the cage. More shitty WCW booking.
Lucky 13 won Cage of Death. He was the last survivor.
Would you say he was lucky?
He was. 2 years in a row, apparently.
He's very lucky.
And then sick Nick Mondo made his return. Which was apparently a big deal. I'm not a CZW fan, so I don't know much about him.
Is Nick Mondo the one that went to jail?
I don't think so.
Who's the one that robbed the bank? Was that Danzig?
No.
Zandig? Yes. John Zandig,
John,
right?
Zandig?
Didn't
maybe?
One of them robbed the bank and was hiding out in Camden, of all places.
I think it was Zandig. Find out right now.
Well, Nick Mondo is the guy who got hit with the weed whacker 10 or so years ago, and then he retired from wrestling.
So now he's back.
I don't know if it's a permanent thing. He came back for a one-night thing, and then Rory Mondo, who...
Nick Gage.
There you go, Nick
Gage. Okay, Nick Gage.
Rory Mondo, who pretty much took over the sick Nick Mondo gimmick, kind of idolized him. He retired after the match, so it was a really awesome way for CZW to tie everything together. But you look beyond the Cage of Death, Drew Gulak... Yes. Versus Chris Hero for the world title.
How did that go?
Open the show. And
why?
It was because Chris Hero had to be in New York City for Ring of Honor.
Oh.
But it spoke volumes for the CZW staff to have them open the show and then have everyone else follow it and have it not be a complete dud. Awesome match. Great technical match. Drew Gulak comes out on top.
Good for Drew. It's nice to see that he's getting the accolades that he deserves and having the success that he's having.
Excuse me.
Good for him. Drew, where's my shirt, brother? I'm still waiting.
Are you really?
Yeah. I emailed him a few weeks ago, like last week, and he told me, he was waiting for the shipment to come in. So.
Oof, boy.
That's all right. Hopefully for Christmas I'll be rocking my a Better Combat Zone shirt.
Just a couple things to note. Lots of great matches. Past guest JT Dunn participated in a tag team match against the tag champions Blackout.
The Juice.
Him and David Starr. Great match, great tag team match. They came up short. Still good. Awesome six-way match. Azrael, Joe Gacy, A.R. Fox, Chuck Taylor, Anthony Nice, and the kid Everett we saw at Dragon Gate who did the shooting star press outside the ring.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right onto us?
Yes.
Jesus Christ,
yeah.
Everett.
He was in it. Fucking awesome six-way.
Had front row seats for that show.
Nice. Davey Richards probably made his last independent wrestling match as he took on Chris Dickinson. And he lost in a fucking stiff-as-fuck match. It was probably the best match of the night.
So that's it for Davey? Done?
Pretty much.
Do we know? Is that... if he's there, if he's down there this long, I guess it's got to be that he's signed, right?
Pretty much. I don't think he has any more independent bookings left.
What's he going to do? What is he going to do?
The only awful thing about the pay-per-view was fucking Freight Train.
Freight Train was at Combat Zone Wrestling?
It was. Him and Greg Excellent, I guess, is a gimmick guy, too. He comes out with his mama, who's like a fucking grandmother.
Shelton Benjamin type gimmick?
Could have done without grandma and her fucking bra.
Uh-huh.
That was gross because Freight Train came out with Cherry Bomb.
All right.
And she had her titties hanging out. And then fucking Greg Excellent's mother took her fun bags out. It was gross. Freight Train's awful.
Oh.
I get it. He loves wrestling. He's special. He's fucking awful.
It's done.
awful.
It's done.
$5 wrestling is hysterical. It was funny when ICP was doing Stranglemania. It's just my personal point of view. The Shining Wizards don't share Shining Wizard Matt's point of view.
No, you know what? I mean, like, I get it. There was a whole big debate on whether or not they're exploiting, like, the mentally challenged or whatever, but it's kind of run its course, I think.
It's not even, it's just bad. It was bad. It was, yeah. Like.
But I think it's meant to be bad. Like, I don't think anybody expects anything from it, but it's just tiresome.
Yeah, but if I want to, I'll go watch two little kids fight. It'll be more entertaining. They're more brutal.
Ooh, we should set up my kid against Phil's kid.
Oh, there you go.
Well, that'll open the next cage of death.
So all in all, CZW, I mean, fucking 100 thumbs up. I know they're doing a show, I think, January 11th. Drew Gulak's defending his title, I want to say, against Drew Blood. I could be wrong. I'd have to check
Drew
on that.
Drew Blood.
But it's definitely worth $15, and the iPay-per-view feed was pretty good. It wasn't perfect, but there was a fucking snowstorm, so
yeah,
it is what it is. Jumping to people in the New York area, Ring of Honor did Final Battle. As you know, we had Michael Bennett on last week. Unfortunately, he did lose. Due to a ref stoppage, though.
What is he going to do?
I don't know what he's going to do. He took three package pile drivers before they called the match. And then Kevin Steen had the audacity to deliver a package pile driver on Maria.
That bastard.
She is a beautiful young lady. It is not necessary for him to do such a thing.
Would you consider her ravaging?
Yes, she's very ravaging. a couple other things and notes from Final Battle. Red Dragon successfully defended their titles against Outlaw Inc., which is Eddie Kingston and Homicide. And the New York City fans turned on Kingston and Homicide at the end of the match. It's being reported, and I haven't watched it yet. I do have a video on demand. It was the worst match ever held at a Final Battle.
Really?
People are not very happy with it. It just didn't really come off so well. I don't think it was the worst match probably ever held at Final Battle, but I could see how. I don't know. I'm sure Homicide's a really nice guy. I just can't get. I'm not a fan of his.
Really?
His work, I just don't like it.
I like Homicide.
I mean,
I thought you turned the corner on Homicide.
No, not really. It's still.
That's all right.
Oh well.
There's a million wrestlers. We don't have to love them all. I mean, I like Homicide. I was a fan of his. I loved LAX and TNA. There
you go. Orale.
Fun match to watch from Final Battle: Young Bucks against ACH and Thaddeus Thomas. Just to watch Nigel McGuinness at ringside doing color, just jumping up and down, going insane,
doing
because
color.
Of the spots. It's just a fun match.
Hello. I'll do that because Eddie's not here.
Hello.
Hello.
They crowned a new TV champion, Tommaso Ciampa. He beat Matt Taven.
Good for him.
Matt Taven was the longest reigning Ring of Honor TV champion.
Well, sucks to be him. He's not champion anymore.
No more. It's the reign of Tommaso.
Fuck him.
And then your main event was Adam Cole against Michael Elgin against Jay Briscoe. Ended with Adam Cole winning. With the help of one Matt Hardy. And then Adam...
I could slap a tomato!
Adam Cole actually hit a... used a twist of fate after the match. They laid everybody out. And then Chris Hero made his triumphant Ring of Honor return.
He's a hero.
Through the crowd he came.
Through the crowd.
Threw a couple roaring elbows and then told Adam Cole he's gunning
suck
for
it.
Him.
So, did he give him... Did he...
did they ever...
Go ahead.
Did they ever fit? Remember at the Dragon Gate show that we went to? Did they ever book an Aero Fox Chris Hero match?
I'm thinking they haven't announced
Evolve?
It yet. I know they have the Evolve dates for the second week in January, but I'm sure they'll be booked on
okay.
it.
Okay. Just
I'm
checking.
Sure
anyway, proceed.
They'll be booked.
So I haven't watched the whole Final Battle video on demand yet. Turnbuckle Throwback Phil Rea did. He fucking said it was a phenomenal show. So, you know,
phenomenal.
keep an eye on our Twitter and our Facebook, and I'll have more of that probably Thursday because that's my next night off where I can watch some professional wrestling.
Yeah, that's my next night off.
Now the wrestling that most people watched was Sunday night, TLC, and that's actually the one pay-per-view I did not watch.
And I didn't watch the whole thing, but I caught bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but... we'll name drop him again because Stevie Richards did. The guys from the PW Insider, Mike Johnson, and they thought it was the best offering they had since SummerSlam. So, I mean, it can't be that bad.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad show at all.
I heard the John Cena Randy Orton match was awesome.
There was 50-50 booking with Fandango beating Dolph Ziggler, which I think
that's a kickoff.
Dolph Ziggler,
they're both done.
Yeah, but I think Ziggler wound up winning again on Raw Monday.
Yeah, he did win on Raw. That's right.
CM Punk beats The Shield in a 3-on-1 handicap, but the big story about that is that...
Shield is probably Dunsky.
Roman Reigns does the spear?
Yes.
Okay, so he wound up spearing Dean Ambrose by mistake, and I think that's how Punk won.
That is how Punk won.
That
so
is.
There's shenanigans abounding there. Of course, I watched the Divas match.
Of course.
Thank you, Matt. And it looked like Natalya was going to win. Like it was actually a decent match. Natalya gets the sharpshooter. AJ
too.
Gets like the widow's. What is it, the widow's peak?
No, that was
Black
that was
widow?
Victoria.
No, the Black Widow.
The submission move.
Yeah. What's her move that she puts her?
I don't know. The widow's peak was Victoria.
The Black Widow.
The Black Widow.
Yeah.
All right.
So it was a bunch of reversals, and then AJ gets the cheapo roll up. 1, 2, 3.
Surprisingly, after all that went down.
Biggie Langston beat Damian Sandow. Didn't see it. The four-way tag match, I heard it came down to the Goldust Boys against...
Big Show and Mysterio.
Yeah, but I think Cody Rhodes and Goldust won that
They
one.
Did win that because then they fought on Raw in a tag match with Big Show and Mysterio actually went over.
But it was non-title.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
The R-Truth match, I didn't see with Brodus, but he beat Brodus by roll-up. Another fucking roll-up? Jesus.
What's up?
Well, because... That and the story behind that now is that they and that Brodus turned on, I think if I'm not mistaken, Brodus beat up Tensai Albert after the match. I think. Oh no, Tensai left the match. He abandoned him at ringside, and because Brodus Clay was being overly aggressive, like splashing or beating the crap out of R-Truth, and R-Truth finally rolled him up. So the heel turn for Brodus Clay is here. Because I think on Raw, he actually beat up Sweet Tea.
It's a day away in the chronology, but we'll get to that. Daniel Bryan loses.
They're all intertwined.
Daniel Bryan loses at the handicap match against the Wyatt family, of course, because, you know, they have to make him job. So I didn't see that. But the one I did see and the one I watched most of in between wipings was the John Cena, Randy Orton for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So it's still two belts, but it's really one belt now. I don't know. It was your, you know, punchy kicky, hit the announce table, hit the stairs. It was good stuff. I can't complain.
Vince McMahon came back too.
Yes,
made his first appearance.
But the one thing that was very creative, Randy Orton handcuffs John Cena to the bottom rope.
Right.
And he brings in this huge ladder, and Cena's trying to get him, but he can't because he's stuck on the rope and he can't really reach. So while Orton is lollygagging, bringing this big ladder in, Cena's in the corner, and he undoes the bottom turnbuckle. And I don't mean the pad. There's the part that holds the buckle itself. That's technically the turnbuckle. That's the part that it is. So he undoes that, so the bottom rope comes completely off the post, and now he's able to get at Randy Orton. But Randy grabs the ropes while Cena's climbing the ladder and yanks. I don't know if he was supposed to go through the table that was set up
in
the corner.
His head hits, right?
His head hits, which I think makes it even more important. Like, I think it makes it better because Cena's completely out. Randy Orton climbs to the top, and lo and behold, Randy Orton is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And to be honest with you, with booking like that, it doesn't make Cena look weak. It makes Randy Orton look like the heel that, like, hey, he got it done. But it also wasn't like a – it wasn't like a really shitty – win, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he handcuffed him and whatnot, but the match was just, you know, the match was pretty much no rules, so it's not like he broke any rules handcuffing him. And there you go, and Randy Orton's your champion.
He sure is.
Which takes us to Raw.
And they kick it off with the old entire roster on the stage.
Yeah, and they're all kissing Randy's ass, and then Cena, of course, speaks up. And it leads to Daniel Bryan getting a match against Randy Orton later in the night.
Which,
but,
if that's on Raw, you know Daniel Bryan was not going to win.
He won, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I hear you. But it's not like it was for the title or anything.
We talk about this every week, but it seemed like the direction is going to be Daniel Bryan, Shawn Michaels. But now... I'm not so sure right now because...
Yeah, no, at one point, yeah, you're right. CM Punk comes out, and he starts talking shit, calling out Triple H, and the next thing you know, Shawn Michaels comes out.
I'll tell you what,
You think they're going to get behind Bryan again?
No, you know what? I think they go. I think they send Brian Orton to the Rumble.
Okay.
Brian wins. Cena wins the Rumble.
Yo, you think they're going Cena?
Yep.
No, I think if they're going anywhere, it's going to be.
I love the fact that we don't, like, for the first time, it's not.
No, it's going to be Shawn Michaels coming back, teaming up one night only with DX, and they're going to take on CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
No, I think it's going to be.
I think it's going to be two singles matches. I think it's going to be CM Punk, Triple H, Daniel Bryan, HBK.
I don't know if it's going to go like that.
I think it's Bryan, Cena, because the storyline is Cena saying, if I had won it, I would have given you a shot.
He so didn't now win. Brian wins it.
Right. Now, gives Brian Cena wins it at Royal Rumble, and Cena wins the Rumble, and it's just going to be like, it's in the cards. It's fake.
SummerSlam did terrible buys with that match.
I'm just...
Yeah, I know. No, that's what I would love to see. I would love to see Brian
well, look,
in the main event.
Brian, Cena, Punk, HBK.
It's... Go ahead.
Undertaker, Batista.
Not Batista.
Undertaker, Lesnar. Brock at WrestleMania 30.
31?
No, it's 30.
30.
This year's 30. 30.
What the hell was at the Meadowlands?
29. Goldust versus Dustin.
That's going to happen.
Goldust versus Dustin? Think about that. Goldust versus Cody?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Derp.
Derp.
And I'm going, yeah, you're Derpy right. That's
derp.
A good one.
Overall, I liked Raw. The first hour was kind of rough. Randy Orton starting off the show, and just John Cena, like... I know we talked about it last week where he's, like, putting other dudes over.
Dudes.
It's just like, enough with John Cena, please.
You know what, though? Devin Storm made a great point on Friday. David Flair, for whatever God unknown reason, was pulling in high ratings whenever he was on Nitro.
What?
Yes. So that's why Devin was very happy to be booked with David Flair, because he knew it meant huge exposure. Yeah, if Cena's getting those high ratings, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Well, I guess so.
Let's check the old ratings out, actually.
Well, you check the ratings out.
Kevin loves his app. He's
I know.
Go right now.
I know it's just a gimmick, the WWE app.
Whee!
Because I honestly don't think there's one fucking person that votes on it.
I vote.
Going into the Rhodes Dynasty defending their tag titles, the choices were Ray...
And Big Show. The Real Americans.
Ryback. I am so done with Rey Mysterio and The Big Show.
Yeah, I've had enough of them too.
I agree. Enough. It's Rey Mysterio, Big Show. It's Rey Mysterio's MO for the past 20 years. He's the underdog. He gets teamed with the big guy. They make an awesome team because the big guy can throw Rey Mysterio around like a rag doll. He can jump off his shoulders and splash him. Enough.
But people love that shit. People love it, man. People go nuts.
It's the kids, man. They don't.
Rey Mysterio is the gobbledygooker of 2013.
Okay, but you have a legit tag team. You took two singles wrestlers, Jack Swagger, who was a wrestling 8 months ago for the heavyweight title at WrestleMania, and Antonio Cesaro, who were the U.S. title, and you make them a legitimate tag team.
Wait, Jack Swagger was wrestling for the heavyweight title?
Yeah, he wrestled ADR.
Yeah, Alberto Del Rio.
Fuck me, I forgot about that match.
You take them, you make them a legit tag team, and then they have to wrestle the just let's throw two more black guys together tag team of Biggie Langston, who's the Intercontinental Champion, you know, the belt that Shawn Michaels and Randy Savage and the Honky Tonk Man held. It used to mean something.
Ken Patera.
You throw him with Mark Henry, and now that's a tag team match? So
are you going
to break up the Real Americans, or is it just a throwaway match?
It's just a throwaway match.
The great thing, commentary, I think it was JBL during that match, he was like, wow, look at the depth of the tag team division in WWE right now.
Oh, you know what? You know what else about the commentary?
Compared to a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? He's right.
Fuck Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole and JBL. Middle of the tag team match,
yep,
the Rhodes,
you're right,
against Big Show and Rey Mysterio. They're taking selfies. I hope your fucking plane crashes and you die a fiery wreck, you fuckheads.
Jesus Christ.
No. Fuck. Way to take away from the wrestling match.
I think they did that on purpose. I think that was more of a knock at the president going to Nelson Mandela's services and doing that there.
That's a 3-hour show. They couldn't have found to do it when there wasn't a wrestling match.
But you know what that is? That's Vince wanting to get a fucking jab at Nelson Mandela and trying to be topical. That's
but you're
all
taking
that was.
Away no, you're, from the match.
You're absolutely right. It was the shits, but the drizzling shits. Thank you, Sam Roberts, for saying that today. He listens to the show.
If Jerry Lawler had a heart attack while he was taking that selfie, it would have been worth it.
Yeah.
He's the king of wrestling, the king of Memphis. Have a little fucking
Sonic
pride.
Burgers.
Have some pride in wrestling as a sport.
He
doesn't.
It's whatever Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon tell him to
it's
say
terrible.
To
terrible.
That's all it is.
They couldn't afford.
That'll put butts
there's
in the
so
seats.
Much downtime where there's just the three of them talking and shilling the WWE. They could have been like, oh, now on the WWE app, we're going to take a selfie.
Yeah, they could. You're absolutely right.
No, I agree. Doing it during a match is totally stupid, but.
But
I
then
think
you
that
go.
Tony hit on it.
You
why
go on your. You
why
go
couldn't
on,
they do that during like the Brodus Clay match?
Go on social media, and there's people on Twitter who are like, "This is why I can't watch more than 20 minutes of Raw. This is why I DVR and fast forward through it."
Speaking of Brodus Clay, so he turns his back on Tensai and he starts squashing him after their tag team match.
Yeah,
with,
against Axel and Ryback.
Against Ryback. And the other Negro team happens to be sitting at ringside in the dance squad, and they save Tensai, but then they just sort of forget about him and start dancing with the Funkadactyls.
Oh, Xavier and Truth? Is that
yeah.
what it was?
And but they
I don't remember a whole lot about Raw.
They save Tensai, and then they're like, "Yo, bitches, you want to come dance?" And then where the fuck is Tensai?
He was just they. Fucking
so now is Xavier Woods gonna actually have?
He's going to be with
Archer. Brodus Clay's music now?
Yeah, probably. Why not? He stole
it's a third person that's going to have that music in WWE.
Hey, fucking Kurt Angle's music made the rounds.
Patriot and him, that's it. And if you want to count the world's greatest tag team only because they were with Kurt Angle.
Didn't Mr. America have that music, or am I
no.
mistaken? What did Mr.
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Go to well, the old YouTube.
That's something to figure out. So what else happened on Raw? Something real quick. From the Mark Henry, Big E Langston match,
uh-huh.
Antonio Cesaro picked that big motherfucker, Big E Langston, up from the floor with the fucking...
giant swing?
No, he was going for the giant swing on Mark Henry, but it got broken up. But what's the fucking movie does? It's not a gut wrench, but he grabs him around the waist.
It's a gut wrench, isn't it?
Kind of, sort of.
No, a gut wrench is... yeah,
where
you know,
have him...
It is a gut wrench. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I was thinking belly to back for some reason, but no.
Belly to belly.
You're right. No, what's the suplex Shane Douglas used to do? That was the belly
fisherman?
To belly, right? No, that was Mr. Perfect.
No, the belly to back?
No, Shane
the
Douglas
Pittsburgh
used to
plunge?
Do the belly to belly. Right?
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's what I was thinking of. That's why I was mistooken. What else happened on Raw?
Six-way. They let the fans vote on CM Punk's tag team partners.
And it was
the Usos.
The Mexican Chefs. How's that for a callback?
Which was awesome. The match was great.
The Usos can go, man.
That whole family.
And they, again, I mean, they kind of 50-50 booking hot-shotted it.
Of course. Don't say it. Please don't say it. Sorry, folks. Kevin just got an erection.
They have this, you know, they have six guys flying all over the place. Ambrose gets cut open the hard way. Roman Reigns makes the blind tag. GTS on Ambrose. Punk turns around. Spear, 1-2-3. The Shield beat. the Shield
Poor
beat
Kevin.
Punk and the Usos.
You know what? I don't mind when the Shield wins like that. I really don't.
Shield should have won every match they've been in.
Yay.
I wouldn't say every match,
not
but
every
I do
match.
I do like that they win relatively clean, you yeah. know?
Now, I also sat through the women's match.
Who
was only because one of those bitches got her shit kicked the fuck in.
Wait. Who
one of those Bellas got super kicked right in her fucking cunt hole mouth.
Yeah.
And either she really got kicked in the face or she is the
best
seller.
Yeah. Not as good as on Total Divas, but... awesome in there.
I'm
so sad I missed that.
Kicked right in your mush.
You watched a women's match. You're a fucking pussy.
Yeah.
And then Brian Orton was fucking awesome.
Brian Orton. Brian. Okay, gotcha.
Matt's new Halloween costume.
I thought you were just...
Hi, I'm Brian Orton.
Fucking up somebody's first name or
Jesus
last name.
Jesus Christ, no.
Do I hear voices? Yes!
Am I really that bad?
No, you're
no,
fine.
No, it was my fault.
It was
obviously
funny.
Brian
it was Kevin's gaffe.
Daniel Bryan. and Randy Orton had a stellar match. But then
shenanigans.
Orton, the low blow.
Low blow
to the painful finish.
Then Cena comes in for the save.
Yeah, and then Cena eats an RKO.
Yeah.
Good.
And they
Which
leave.
Which looked kind of botchy almost a little
Fuck
bit, em. If I remember correctly.
Botchamania.
And
Botchamania.
Then they leave those two schlubs laying in the ring. And Orton, who is raising both belts, and then they threw it down our throats Sunday night that you'd never see both belts again.
In a ring.
But then here he is with these two.
See, part of me thinks that belts. Because they have two different touring like house shows, that it's something I like in the back of my mind. I guess it's just like the skeptic in me.
They do,
yeah. They have two different groups that
Still?
Go out. Like
they do A and B.
Yeah, some guys will go overseas, while some guys run in the States and
all
that stuff like
well,
that.
Well, back
so
in,
part
oh,
of me,
sorry.
The skeptic in me thinks that we're not gonna have this unified champion for a long time.
No, I think you will. I think what I they'll mean, do on the B shows is going to be like the Intercontinental and the U.S. belts.
Well, they
and,
better take that shit off Biggie Langston then right away.
Up, or they can highlight the tag titles. You could, you know, used to be you can main event
oh,
with a lot of lower guys.
The Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation would main event the shows
exactly
all the time. Exactly. The world title match would be, in, I mean, SummerSlam
you
92 for
Savage.
Christ's sake, Macho Man Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior was
in the middle.
In the middle of SummerSlam. I mean, that was probably because of Bulldog, but well,
same thing with WrestleMania 8.
Yeah, Flair Savage, but that's because of Hogan in the back and the Ultimate Warrior's return.
Well, Hogan was going to retire.
Ultimate Warrior was so late, or no? Papa
Shango. No,
was
Papa
there,
Shango
right?
was early, and they never rang. It was that was weird. That was a weird finish.
Yeah, it was. Because
the
I
bell
remember,
rang, but there was nothing to be disqualified for yet.
I
or
read. I
like
read.
That.
I read something on what was supposed to happen there, but I forget. I really don't remember. But I read that recently. Actually, I'm surprised I don't remember that.
So what do we got? Do we have any wrestling news? I know there was a little Michelle Beadle from ESPN.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was
kind
a confrontation
with
AJ Lee.
AJ.
At the Tribute to the Troops taping, she was talking to CM Punk. And
called him a fuckhead or something like that?
Yeah, she
jokingly.
Fucking, and she, like, lost her fucking shit because apparently they're dating.
Well, rumor has it that she really didn't lose her shit and that it was kind of blown out of proportion.
Oh. Well,
I
did
don't
you
know,
see the cartoon
whatever.
That's being passed around?
Yeah, where she's fucking CM Punk and says, call me Lita.
Yeah.
That yeah.
That's a little... That's
well,
fun.
Isn't AJ... And, yeah, I didn't realize that... how many guys has AJ gone through in that locker room?
Well, even outside that locker room, from what we understand.
Jay Lethal.
Oh, come on.
What? We talked about it on our interview with him.
Did we really? I don't
yeah.
remember. Oh, well, did you? I'm sorry. I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, but whatever. It's, what else we got?
I don't know. It was, I mean, all in all, it was a pretty busy
like
weekend.
Like I said, AJ, I don't think... There's some people out there right now saying that the whole AJ thing might be a work.
AJ Styles.
Yeah, which wouldn't... I'm sorry. Switching AJs. I don't know. I really don't know. I hope for TNA's sake that they're keeping him around, because I think if you cut somebody who's been the backbone of that company for so long, that kind of, like, sends the message to everybody else that anyone and everyone is disposable, which is not the kind of message you want to send when you're trying to rebuild your organization. But what do I know? I'm just a fat dude sitting on a couch in a basement.
No, I mean, I don't think it's a work, because like you said before.
He's booked Smash Wrestling, Dreamwave, House of Glory just booked him.
Yeah, but didn't PWS also book Cody Rhodes?
No.
That was
more of Cody Rhodes saying that maybe he should go to PWS.
Right, here are AJ Styles bookings from December 28th. Anarchy Wrestling in Georgia, Premier Wrestling.
Wait. What? I'm sorry. What? Starting December 28th?
December 28th.
He's going to be in Georgia?
He's going to be in Georgia.
Oh, that sucks. That takes him out of the Extreme Rising equation. I'm sorry.
He's,
go ahead.
Booked January 19th, Premier Wrestling Experience in North Carolina versus Cedric Alexander.
He's
January
Ring
26th,
of Honor
Smash Wrestling against Chris Hero in Toronto.
That's going to be huge.
February 1st, Dreamwave Wrestling in Chicago versus Christian Rose. February 7th, Deep Southern Championship Wrestling, Blue Ridge, teaming with Cody Roberts versus Corey Hollis and Sean Tempers.
Do you know any of those guys?
No,
I do not. February 15th, House of Glory, no opponent. March 1st, PCW UK versus Lionheart. March 14th, 2CW, Binghamton, New York versus Eddie Edwards. And then March 15th, UWE Harrisburg, Pennsylvania versus AR Fox. We just gave AJ Styles a shitload of press.
Yeah, I mean, he's really making the rounds.
I wouldn't be. I didn't hear you say February 22nd, so maybe that's a PWS shot. Not saying anything.
No, but it didn't. It had the announced the towns next to every one of them.
What do you think AJ?
Right, but you didn't say February 22nd, did you?
I did not say February 22nd. So,
I
mean,
I heard though on the social media he wants $3,000 for an appearance.
He deserves it.
I was thinking like maybe $5,000. I thought that's what I had heard.
Well, isn't that what the guys like Hardy and those guys get? Or like Morrison and those guys?
I don't know if Hardy gets five or three. I don't know. I
think, maybe when he was hot, when he was first
I'm
released,
thinking Hardy
he
maybe gets
five.
$1,500 or $2,000 for a shot.
Which one, Matt or Jeff?
Matt.
If Jeff was doing independent shots, he'd get five. I bet you
AJ Fall. I mean, he probably gets three just to show up, and that includes airfare and a ride. Yeah. And then someone's going to pay to vent him, too. And if that's like what we paid to vent Morrison, I mean, he's getting close to five.
And that's not bad for one day's work.
No, it really
isn't. And if he can get a second booking that weekend, get a double shot going,
he'll be fine.
He can go home with close to $10,000.
Dude, he'll be fine. Then he'll go work.
Oh, he'll definitely be fine.
If he doesn't get picked up by WWE or, Ring of Honor, I don't think can give him the money that he was looking for from TNA. So he would probably go to Japan.
Yeah, I'm sure AJ's been good with his money, though. You know, he's a family guy. He treats it as a business. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I don't think he's going to have any kind of, financial problems. And he's still a young guy. He could still take the independent shots and, spend some more time with his family, which is what I would do.
Yeah, if you're looking to find some, he did Ring of Honor, so, you can go back on YouTube and find his Ring of Honor stuff. It's good.
He worked PWS, too, against Paul Burchill back in 2011, 2010.
Yeah. Was he still the pirate Paul Burchill?
I doubt it.
So, any other news or notes we need to go over? As we start to wind down this bad boy.
We put out, last week on the Facebook, we were looking for suggested programming for the WWE Network because there's rumblings that it's going to be finally starting up with the disappearance of 24/7. Is that going away?
Yeah. WWE Classics is gone. The Comcast, the Xfinity thing.
Is that 24/7?
It's on demand. It's WWE on demand now.
Is that what that's
yeah,
what that
hasn't
was
been called 24/7 for
you want
years.
To hear a talk from Paul Heyman?
About what?
I had a very fascinating conversation today with Brock Lesnar.
Into the mic, dude.
Regarding new WWE World Champion Randy Orton.
Uh-oh.
Teasing possibly a Brock Lesnar-Randy Orton situation going down.
I doubt that.
Well, it's Paul Heyman probably just teasing the world, but that's
you think
Paul
Randy Orton's going to become a Paul Heyman guy?
Make Randy Orton a Paul Heyman guy?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome. Instead of this stupid authority shit.
Oh, the authority that's a heel or a face.
Yeah, we don't know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't... I hate that shit. They commandeer everything just to make themselves so, and then all of a sudden they're going to be like, well, good for business. Fuck that shit.
All right, so we did the what kind of original programming do you want to see on WWE Network?
Contest.
And we had pretty damn close to 100 entries.
Did we ever actually decide a winner?
Oh, that's what we're doing
I
right
pick
now,
mine.
Kevin.
All right.
Oh,
so
your picture's out of here?
Yes. So we're all going to vote?
And
we're each going to pick one, and the winner's going to get a Barjitsu shirt. Courtesy of our friends over at Barjitsu, the American Art of Bar Fighting. The book will be out this January. You can go to barjitsu.com and check out the website. You can pre-order it on amazon.com. If you do it through us, it helps us, and it helps Barjitsu.
Absolutely.
So God bless America, and God bless that. Do you want me to just read them?
No.
As our finals?
No.
Because some of them are pretty damn funny.
Yeah, read all the finalists.
You
why
do
not?
I need to get this just out of the way.
Okay, go ahead.
Because it pains me to say that I'm going to pick Tim Grimes for something.
Oh,
didn't
no.
Didn't he just win something last week, or is that...
You're spoiling it already? No, Tim Grimes didn't win.
I'm picking my winner. All
right, pick your winner.
You don't want me to just read the best ones?
No.
Oh, no, all right, then go ahead.
I think this one is one of the best ones.
Okay, so go ahead.
I'm picking Tim Grimes as a winner.
You hear that, Grimes?
I care less what the other two are.
Hell
you guys
hath
can fight
frozen
over, that.
Over.
And a WWE original series idea by fucking Tim Grimes, that fucking redneck piece of trash.
Congratulations, Tim.
Congratulations. We have a triple XL Barjitsu shirt for you, Tubby.
No, it's only XL, so you might have to give it to somebody.
Oh, God, you're going
to
look like a 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag.
I kid, Grimes, I kid. I hope you have AIDS.
That's good.
You sent us WWE original programming, Mythbusters.
Oh, he said there's a ton.
With Bobby the Brain Heenan and the Genius.
Really?
I think that's fucking hysterical.
No, it's got potential. I thought there were better ones on there.
Well, I picked that one. No, for that's Tim
good.
Grimes.
All right, Tim Grimes Tim wins. Grimes.
So, Tim, congratulations, buddy.
Kevin, I will let you pick next.
As much as I break your balls, I do appreciate your continued support.
And we
support.
Do appreciate all of them. I heartily laughed at a lot of those entries, but we broke it down to about the final seven or eight, and now we're just all picking.
This is my favorite. This is Kevin's pick. It is from our pal.
KP Burke?
It's from KP Burke. All right. Listen, I'm friends with KP. We do stand-up comedy together, but this is just incredible. Actually.
Oh, no. Are you not going to give it to KP Burke?
Well,
now?
I think I was going to steal yours, but I'm not going to.
Okay, don't steal mine.
I'll just go with this one. KP is Randy Orton as a chef. He cooks all his meals.
Handmade meals.
Handmade meals. Eats them. And then shits him in the Kelly's purse. That is the full. That's the title of the show. It's long. You have to listen to it for a little while, but that's it. So Randy Orton, the chef, handmade meals eaten by Randy Orton, and then shat into Kelly's purse. KP Burke, you're getting a Bar Jitsu shirt.
Congratulations, KP Burke. Oh, okay. So you went with that one. My pick, Adam Carey. You are our third winner. He had 12 is Enough, which was a sitcom starring Jerry Lawler, which I thought was great.
There were a lot of good ones.
I think the better one, it's just called He Got a Bicycle. It's Dusty Rhodes as a detective helping people find stolen bikes.
It's a very important crime that Dusty Rhodes. The authorities can't help you, but Dusty Rhodes.
You know where that comes from, right?
No.
I forget what,
a vignette back in the day?
No, it was a match. And somebody had a bicycle as a weapon. And he just goes, he got a bicycle. It's in the opening. It was in one of the openings to Botchamania. We really hit a home run with that one.
If I realized the backstory, I would have appreciated it.
There were so many good ones.
A lot of good ones. Thank you all for
And congratulations. Hopefully you'll be getting your shirts before Christmas. But
I'll see KP anytime so I can give him his.
All right, so I'll give you that one. So KP Burke is a 2-time winner now, and Grimes. Grimes got one of our original shirts. Do you remember that?
Who won the Survivor Series contest?
What was his name?
Yes, Rick Osborne. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, his picks were the most solid, I think. But of course, even our picks got shattered upon. So. And they had problems with the women's match. Although somebody did tell us they thought our tag match was spot on. I forget who that was, but we like doing the fantasy booking.
It's fun.
So while Matt is futzing around with something, I just want to remind you all that you've been listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our interview tonight with Dancing Stevie Richards, the Extreme Rising World Champion.
DDP Yoga Trainer.
Yes, it was a pleasure speaking to him tonight.
Awesome.
Just a couple of drizzling shit things before we back this truck into the fucking lot. Matt and I will be making a special appearance on Friday night for RantumRadio.com with the Turnbuckle Throwback Boys, Phil and Dave.
You.
We're doing a live show at 8 o'clock. I think it's Rantum Radio. Yeah, RantumRadio.com. I forget. It's on some sort of apps or something. There's a commercial at the beginning of the episode I'm sure you heard. So if you don't get the details there, follow Phil on Facebook, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You'll get all the information there. We are part of a network. We have 9 great shows now. Jesus, 7.
Wow.
We're growing by leaps and bounds over here.
There it is.
Neckbreaker. Go ahead.
Didn't we run fucking promos for these retards?
Yeah, but not for all of them.
What the? Why would you not run promos for all
because
of them?
Because
we don't
have
9
promos
of them.
For all of them.
Well, guess what, you lazy pieces of shit? Right? Double. Dude, 2 mics, 2 dicks. Get off your fucking lazy asses.
Relax.
During your shitty Christmas holiday break, and if you're a Jew, Happy belated Hanukkah.
Is that for
happy Thanksgiving?
Was that directed
Jews?
To Jay Silva specifically?
No, Jay actually they haven't sent us one?
I don't know if we have one from them.
Oh, well, I'm gonna get on the Jewosaurus and I'm gonna tell him, hey Jewosaurus, after you jacked our box of wizardry, the least you could do is fucking give us a 2.5 wrestlers promo. Come on, guys, get on the ball.
And a shirt.
Shining Wizards Network. Just record a promo and send it to us so we don't have to waste time shilling.
Yeah, and it takes 4 seconds to announce.
And
six,
if we and if we
shows.
Have one, if we have one, send us a new one if you want. We don't care. We'll play whatever. We don't give a shit. It's for the cause, you know. But the ones we didn't run were 2.5 wrestlers, the Fallen Angels, Forearms and Funk, Mr. Jack Foley.
Forearms and Funk.
Yeah, I know.
Funkadactyls.
I know. Don't. Who else are we missing?
The Wolfman can't. Come on, Wolfman.
Yeah, come on, Wolfman. You fucking live for this
Pro
shit,
Wrestling
bro.
101.
Pro Wrestling 101, Justin Crabb. But we actually don't have a promo from Justin Crabb.
Oh, my Apex God. Radio?
Apex, we have one. I ran that during the show. I ran
just
Phil's.
Read all nine of them. It takes 2 seconds.
But we just did.
Oh, okay.
Aren't Apex and Jack Wolfman?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
They're not the same.
I don't know. No, they're roommates. They live together sometimes. No, dude.
They're not the same.
Totally Ow. Different people.
I also have a plug.
They sound different, bro.
I have a plug for another wrestling podcast.
Really?
Our buddies, we make friends every week.
We're all here to help each other.
I know. I love the podcast.
On the Twitter,
yes.
The Twitter box.
I hate that. We got to come up with something different.
Twitter machine.
Box. I like Twitter anus.
Twitter anus. Under the Mat Radio is live every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio / People Who Know Good Wrestling, and on pwkgw.com.
That's
oh, my God. That's as bad as 2.5 wrestlers fucking Twitter.
Well, tonight...
T-A-A-H.
Well, I guess when you listen to this, their last two guests were Ahmed Johnson and Michael Tarver.
Wait.
Tarver from the Nexus?
Yeah.
The former MMA guy? Nice.
Yes.
How did they get Ahmed Johnson and we didn't?
I don't know. Maybe Ahmed answered his phone when somebody else called.
When Eddie called.
I mean, Ahmed got back to us on Facebook and said he was sorry.
I know.
They also have next week on Christmas Eve, they're doing a Vader and Jamie Dundee.
Ooh.
And the week after that.
I wonder whose ass is tighter, Vader or Jamie Dundee.
Jamie Dundee, that's not...
Can
that's
they
like
ask Vader?
Jim Dunn from USWA and GWF.
PG-13.
Jamie Dundee?
It's PG-13, yeah.
No. Never. Okay, all right. Yeah.
Hey, if they're listening to this plug, which I hope they are, ask Vader about his red balls.
Oh, yeah.
And him being smelly.
Craig yes, Barrow, and tell him, like ask him if he's going to fucking shower before his next shot.
Yeah, shower, Vader, and don't eat pizza in front
yeah,
of the
stop
guests.
Being a dick and shake a promoter's hand and say hi to everybody in the locker room.
And then on the 31st... Nobody's
bigger than his business.
They're ringing in the new year with Shamrock Ken, past
guest
of the Shining
of
Wizards
us.
Podcast, and Dan the Beast Severn. So please go out there, support Under the Mat Radio. They have a fan page on Facebook. They do what we do. They love wrestling. They just... give themselves a forum to talk about it, and they could use all the support that we can give them.
Yeah, and we'll be around this weekend doing some hitting up some indie shows possibly. I know. Well, tomorrow night is Pro Wrestling Syndicate's open house. If you ever wanted to be in the wrestling business, this is the best place in my opinion to go learn. And tomorrow they will be having an open house, free. Just show up, even if you don't want to wrestle. You want to be a promoter, an announcer, a referee, a manager, valet, anything. That's tomorrow night in Rahway. I wish I had the time in front of me. Like, I'm an idiot.
7:30.
7:30 is the time. I will probably be going down there with Eddie. And then Friday night in Parlin, New Jersey. There's a show that Eddie will be going to. And again, I'm an asshole because I do not have the information in front of me. But a lot of our friends, including Kevin Matthews, PJ, Justin Credible.
Matt Stryker.
Destruction.
Kevin Matthews.
There it is.
Together?
There it is. Little Guido, Robbie E.
One Warrior Nation.
One Warrior Nation. The big deal, Craig Steele. That is tomorrow night at. It's at 5. It's at 5:45.
I think that's when doors open.
Okay, so probably
I'm
like
sure
I'm guessing
is
seven.
At seven.
7 o'clock. Eddie, I think, is going. I might make it.
There
Don't
you go. 7:15 bell time.
Yeah. So
Tony Atlas, Matt Stryker, Justin Credible, Nunzio, Sanjay Dutt.
Tony Atlas.
The Patriot and the ECW zombie.
You got to get somebody to get a picture of Tony Atlas sniffing feet.
I think I'm going to be checking out NYWC Saturday night over in Deer Park.
Ooh, Toys for Twats. Tots.
New York. Toys for Tots, they're doing. The Tour de Circus. A friend of the show, Mike Mondo, is participating in a tag team match with Flawless Blake Morris against the Big O and Francis Kip Stevens.
Ooh, the more important match, just incredible against Matt Stryker in that Extreme Rules match.
Yeah. Former guest Mikey Whipwreck's going to be in a mixed-gender six-man tag match. Woman,
what is it,
man,
like, six man? It's like him, a woman, and like a transvestite, and like a, what do you call
dude,
this
dude, tranny wrestling? That's a fucking business. I bet you Drew Cordero will jump on
it's
that
like
shit.
Like a male, female, and she-male?
Hey, when are we getting some fucking Beyond guys on?
We just had JT Dunn on.
All right, yeah, but JT Dunn's been around. I mean, you know.
All right, well, we'll work on it.
Can we talk to Drew again? I want to talk to Drew again.
Drew did the commentary on the CZWI pay-per-view.
Yeah, they got a working relationship going now.
They have a big show coming up February 16th, Feeding Frenzy. And then
Drew, why you gotta name your show about food?
Shut up, stupid. let's get through these plugs so we can go the fuck home.
Sure.
Where do I need to go?
Nowhere, jerk off.
Hey,
that's
I'm
okay. We're going to start doing the podcast at my apartment, so you have to drive 45 minutes.
In the snow. I might have a... Never mind.
Yeah, get AIDS. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is running Friday and Saturday. They don't do iPay-per-view, but it's definitely something to watch. The Twitter box for Twitter Machine and
Twitter Anus.
Get their DVDs when they come out. It'll be the best $20 you spend. All-Star Weekend, Adam Cole against Chris Hero.
Wow.
The Young Bucks and Kevin Steen against Aaron Fox, Ricochet, and Rich Swann. Rich Swann fucking stole the show at Dragon Gate with Trent Beretta.
Did he get his feathers ruffled?
Perhaps.
Get it?
ACH, no. Michael Elgin in a singles match. Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta against Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong. Tommaso Ciampa, Drake Younger. And that's just night one.
Oh, my God. There's
night
another
two,
night.
They're doing...
is a sick lineup.
They do All-Star Weekend. Whoever the PWG champion is taking on Gargano, friend of the show, who just posted a wonderful picture of him rocking our Wizards t-shirt. Another six-man tag match, the Young Bucks and Kevin Steen, part of Mount Rushmore, taking on Candice LaRue, Ryan and Drake Younger, A.R. Fox and Rich Swann against the Dojo Bros, Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong. ACH is wrestling the loser of the Adam Cole-Chris Hero match.
Because he's a loser.
It's just an unbelievable card. Best friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta against the Unbreakable Fucking Machines, Brian Cage and Michael Elgin.
Wow.
I have a feeling you keep saying these same names over and over.
Well, because it's the same guys. It's the same roster, but they're they're completely different matches.
Tommaso Ciampa against Anthony Nice.
Wow. And this could be your last, this might be one of your last chances to see Drake Younger, a buddy of ours, because he was also down in at the Performance Center for WWE. So he's getting a look there too. So get on that shit.
I mean, Chet, if you're looking for independent wrestling, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is unbelievable. They only do shows in California and Reseda, and everything goes straight to DVD. There's no iPay-per-view, but man, it is fucking awesome. Off the charts.
A lot of great stuff happening now in the indie scene in pro wrestling. A lot of these guys are working their asses off, and it's awesome.
My burps smell like Brazil.
And then December 28th, ExtremeRising.com, Stevie Richards, mystery opponent,
they're
Sabu
streaming.
Fassad.
Yeah, they're streaming that on HighSpots.com, by the way. We didn't mention that tonight. So
oh,
if
damn.
You're not in the Philadelphia area, or if you get shut out, because I think that show's pretty close to getting sold out, if you can't get there, HighSpots.com is carrying that. I think the bell time is 7 o'clock. I don't remember, but... There you go. Quick reminders before we pull this thing into the station while Matt pulls up a closing number for us. We have t-shirts for sale. We have a few of our Kick logo shirts in very limited sizes and very limited quantities. ShiningWizards.com for that. We also have three shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. And I don't know how much money you folks have for the Christmas holidays, but if you're buying a shirt from us, do what I did. Throw $20 or whatever it costs. Support one of the independent wrestlers that are up on that site.
Absolutely.
You know, $20, you know, it may be a lot to you. Maybe you can't afford it. That's fine. But if you can, like, I went out and I bought a Steve the Turtle Weiner shirt.
Such a hump.
So I'm just saying.
No, look,
I
nothing against
you,
Steve the Turtle Weiner, okay? Might be a little special. But out of all the people on that website, that's the t-shirt you buy?
Listen, I'm placing another order for Kevin and myself, and I think I'm going to buy that fucking, oh, shit.
Kevin? Because he looks confused.
Yes. Yeah.
What did we talk about?
Didn't you want a medium? We were going to order shirts, Phil Reyes shirts.
Oh, yeah. I'll do a Phil Reyes shirt.
So you're not confused. I was going to buy a Mr. 1859, why can't I think of his name, Domino?
Cliff Compton.
Yes. A Cliff Compton fucking Power Udi punch him in the ball shirt, which I think is is pretty awesome.
That's
awesome.
Check them all out, Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah, check them
man.
Out, dude. You never know. You might find something, something might catch your eye, you might enjoy it, and then you'll have a fucking cool
I mean, first and foremost, Shining Wizard
shirt. Yes, buy a Shining Wizard shirt, of course. But if you're paying for shipping, you might as well fucking make the most of it.
Okay. And our last shill... we're doing a Twitter contest. We have two brand new Ring of Honor DVDs, Roderick Strong and American Wolf's DVDs unopened, running till Friday. All you have to do is tweet us something at Wizards Podcast, hashtag Shining Wizards. You could say follow at Shining Wizards, listen to at Shining Wizards, retweet the episode, this episode, retweet that out. As long as you mention us and you hashtag Shining Wizards, I will randomly pick one person Saturday morning.
Two people.
No, I'm giving them both.
Ooh, it's a twofer.
We're getting crazy up in this piece.
We're giving away a lot of shit
Holiday
this week.
Spectacular.
I hope I got stamps.
Word?
Anyway. Amazon.com. Do your shopping through there. There's a couple days left before Christmas comes.
Do you open the show with this?
Actually, it's part of the Christmas BWO appearance, but yeah, you can close with that. That's fine. Why not? No, close with it, dude. Who cares? It's fucking dancing Stevie Richards in the BWO. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. I'm going to keep doing that until you...
Wait a minute. Fuck. Wait. It's not coming in. What'd you do? Fuck.
Unplugged. Did I do something?
No.
Did I unplug something?
No. This is in. This is on. It should be coming through. Hello? Oh, no.
What happened?
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck happened. No, it's in. It's on. I don't know why it's not working. Ah, this sucks.
The clip. Is the mute button on or anything like that?
No, the mute's not on. Ah, son of a bitch. Oh, I know why. I'm plugged into the wrong spots on the board. There you go. Let's start that over. Wait, it's still going? How come it's not coming through?
There we go.
Sorry about that, folks. Good night.
Professionals at
dude, we are the best in the world at what we do.
We fucking rule the roost.
Goddamn right. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Peace.
See ya. What? Me? You're talking to me? Stickman and what's the...